Coming to you from the Alamo Draft House in Kansas City, it's the Tim and Lo Show.
All right, this is it, our season finale. Series finale? Series one finale or season finale?
Well, are we British?
We could call them series and be like the Brits.
Yeah, it's like, are we British?
My last name is English, after all.
There it is.
So that's it. I'm your host, Tim English. And you know what? I need to make sure that I introduce you this week. Because I didn't actually introduce you last week.
That's okay.
And I felt horrible. But I think everybody knows who you are.
I think.
And usually when I cue you, you know, most of the time, But I noticed listening, I didn't introduce you. So this is my co-host, Lonita Cook.
I am Lonita Cook, your friendly neighborhood film critic. And I am here with my traveling companion, Tim English.
Yeah.
And this is season one or... Series one.
Series. Let's go with series. Makes us sound sophisticated.
Finale.
Series one finale. And we're calling it finally.
Finally. Finally.
Kind of a play on it. Because I'm clever. Like that. And I'm drinking naked juice today.
Naked juice. And so, I'm just naked.
Yeah. So there's a lot of naked going on. This is the Tim and Lo Show. And we've got a lot to talk about today.
Yes,
we lost
do.
One of our guests, though, unfortunately.
So sad. Because we are recording from the Alamo Draft House, and we were going to have the fantastic Ryan Davis, who we talk about a lot on our show.
Yeah.
We were going to have him as a guest, but he is doing something amazing today.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we should say what he's seeing, but he's seeing one of the big summer movies, and we'll talk about this movie. I just won't indicate it. It comes out in May.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only hint you get. One of the May movies. He gets to see one. He emailed
this morning.
Me and asked if we could reschedule. And I guess I should have been, no, you get your ass in here
right.
and talk to us for 15 minutes.
That's right.
But no, dude, he's seeing one of the movies that I'm really excited about anyway.
Me too, actually.
So I'm hearing some really awesome things.
Oh,
so we're talking
boy.
About, okay, so here's the deal. Today, we're going to talk Transcendence and Haunted House 2.
Yes.
We both saw those movies. We're going to re-air the Marlon Wayans interview from Comic-Con.
Oh,
so
good.
If you missed that in our Comic-Con episode a few weeks ago, you can check that. You can listen to that here just a little bit. Just hang on tight.
I will also talk about Under the Skin now. It comes out tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Under the Skin.
Under the Skin.
So that's Scarlett.
Scarlett Johansson.
So we're going to have a guest. Miss Sarah Smith from the Kansas City Star will
Fantastic.
Be joining us. She's going to sit in with us during our summer TV preview. Since this is our finale and it's mid-ish April right now,
mm-hmm.
we're going to set up the summer movies and summer TV stuff because we won't be back till May. But we'll be back in May.
We will be back. Bigger
so, and
better.
We're going to talk about all that, what we're going to do for season two, series two, whatever. We'll talk about that stuff here in a little bit. We're going to have a summer movie preview, like I just said. And we're going to talk middle of the map fest. We'll do that here in just a minute. I'll kind of lay that out for us. But other than that, what's going on with you? How's it going? Where is Lonita?
Lonita is right here, Tim, right yeah. in front of you.
I mean, in your life,
right
dude.
Before your eyes. No,
I'm
doing well. I, like I always say, I'm working. I have a 9 to 5. That's not quite 9 to 5. It's more like 9 to 4.
Yeah.
In the morning. So
yeah, that can't be fun because nothing good happens after midnight. Well,
I agree.
Yeah.
I will agree. I got to go to a fantastic fundraiser yesterday. Michael Mackey,
oh,
co-host of
cool.
Kansas City Live. I did go, and I met some wonderful people and had a great time. So I enjoy his fundraisers. He, what would you say, they're quarterly?
He does them once a month.
He does
something.
Them once a month.
Yeah, he just did, yeah, ish.
Yeah, it's somewhere around that.
It's,
I know
it's
the
more
last
frequent
one.
Than quarterly, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I'm sure Michael listens to our show. Michael, let us know when you're, how often you do these. We'll give him some publicity.
Yeah.
But he has to be listening. So, all right. So, all right. Anyways, let's start with Sarah's going to be here soon. So, let's start with the middle of the map festival. This is a movie fest. The music fest was just last week here in Kansas City. And middle of the map is running April 16th. So it started yesterday. It's running through the 20th this weekend. And it's being held at the Alamo Draft House right here in Kansas City.
Fantastic.
1400 Main Street, in case you're punching that up on your GPS. But there's some incredible things happening here. Thursday and Friday, they got all kinds of great movies. One I'm thinking sounds kind of cool is called For No Eyes Only. It's an updated take on Hitchcock's Rear Window. This one involves a computer hacker.
Not the Bond movie?
Not the Bond movie. It's a, yeah. But it's kind of a play on that.
Of course.
On that title. It's about a computer hacker who unleashes his voyeurism via his fellow student's webcam as he's laid up with a broken leg. So that sounds interesting. Before I Disappear is playing here. This just won something best, took home best prize for best narrative film at South by Southwest.
Excellent.
So, yeah, excellent. So anyways, so come out to middle of the Map Fest here at the Alamo Draft House in Kansas City, Missouri. Weekend pass is $30. You can get into a forum pass for $25, and we can buy a t-shirt for $12.
A t-shirt.
Check out middleofthematfest.com for all screening information, or just head out to the Alamo, buy a ticket, and just wander on out here. There's lots of great things to do down here in the Power and Light District. So, all right.
I'm excited for Middle of the Map. With Kansas City Film Fest being over, it's really great to have another festival in here. Mm-hmm. And I love this venue.
It's an awesome place to see movies. So
I mean, it's an awesome place to get a burger and a grasshopper. You know, I actually dreamed about the grasshoppers here. They're that delicious. I don't drink very often. I don't want to make it sound like I do.
Right.
But it does have ice cream in it, and I do eat ice cream.
Yeah.
Quite
well.
Frequently.
Yeah, all their food's so good, and yeah, it's a great place because there's not a lot of kids here.
No.
So, you know, they do have things for kids, you know, special days, you know, on the weekends, you know, especially in the summer, they've got like free movies and stuff. So it's awesome. But you know what? If you come out here on a weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, and hit up a late movie, you're going to be with adults and you can sit there and drink alcohol and you don't have to worry about lines or anything. You can just place your order from your seat.
It's amazing. They come to you.
Come right to you?
They come
no,
right to you.
You know, they don't get in your way, you know.
Yeah.
They just dart under you, grab
All
your
All you do is
ticket.
You kind of write down what you want. It's like very, like, kind of, I feel a little pompous a little bit when I do it because I write down my desires and just kind of stick them there. And then voila. Now you
write
do have to pay for
desires.
Them at the end. But
that
it's
That sounds
it's
like it
cool.
could get pretty expensive, though, if Lonita's writing down her desires. Sounds like that. You know, do you ever get somebody come back going, did you write this something? Yeah, just yeah, you know.
Bring it to me, please.
Yeah. And they're like, okay. So, all right. So, all right. That's Middle of the Map. Come on out. That was, I think, one of the big sponsors of this is Inc. Casey.
Nice.
So,
which is the Kansas City Star.
Yeah.
Paper takeaway.
That's right. So, all right. So, that's Middle of the Map. Now, this week, first of all, we're going to get to the Bryan Singer stuff here in a little bit. This all just came up recently.
Yes.
We're going to talk about allegations, sexual abuse allegations on director Bryan Singer. We'll talk about that here in a little bit in our news segment, so stick around for that. We're going to do that right after Sarah gets here. So, you know, I guess basically, since we are what we are and we do what we do, let's talk about the movies we saw this week.
Let's do it.
Okay. Big releases this week, Transcendence with Johnny Depp. A Haunted House 2 with Marlon Wayans. And
Under the Skin with Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you talk about that one first? Because I didn't see that one.
You did not see Under the Skin. I'm going to say that they say up front in the press materials that we see Scarlett Johansson as you've never seen her before. And
she's like a monster, isn't she?
Well, I'm thinking she's going to be acting that sweet booty off, you know. That's, I'm like, she's about to give it to us. But no, they just mean she's fully nude. That's all they mean.
Oh.
Fully.
Damn, I missed it.
I know.
Cool. All right. And, so there's at least one reason to see this movie, but is there any other reason to see this movie? What's it about? Tell us what it's about.
You know, when you watch the trailer, you're going, they don't really tell you what it's about. And the reason why they don't is because it's about nothing. Nice. At all. At all. It's about nothing. And
that's ScarJo's nude.
Well, so I'll tell you what happens, though. So you have this woman who is obviously not human, but you're not sure what she is. And so I think that is the only intrigue is, are we going to find out what she is?
Sure.
But she drives around. And there's endless footage of her driving around. And
I like when monsters drive cars.
And she rolls down the window and she says to a guy, "Hey, are you going here?" And he'll say in his accent, because I think she's in Scotland or someplace.
It's a foreign movie, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. You know, they say no. She's like, "Hey, I don't know where I'm at. Can you show me?" And then he gets in, and then she takes him to her house, and she walks across the floor, and she undresses, and he's like, "Yeah, buddy," and he starts undressing, and then he sinks into the floor, which I believe you get in the trailer, and then she starts driving again.
Ooh.
That's the movie.
Yay!
Over and over
again. Really exciting.
And then
you almost had me convinced to see it.
So after we see screenings, our screening reps wait for us to give kind of a snippet of our reaction. And what I told the screening rep is, you know, I went to an acting conservatory, and in our improv class, we would do something called building the where. And actors know what that is. It's an environmental experience. It's an environmental experience where one of your peers gets up in the middle of the room. It's an empty room, and we're all sitting and we're watching them. And they decide in their head that they're in this environment, and we watch them explore this environment where we have no idea where they're at, but we just watch them explore this environment. And you don't do things in the environment. So say you're in the restroom, you don't take a crap, you know, you don't brush your teeth, you just feel the toilet, you know, you have a sensor, you have a visceral experience in this environment. And that's what watching the movie was like.
Awesome.
You can take that as good or bad. I personally, as soon as the first name popped up in the credits, I got out of my seat. I was angry to have.
No, I've had those where you're just ready to go. This is a British movie from the UK.
Yeah, but I think it's maybe one of the characters is from Scotland.
Yeah.
There was one scene. Here's a spoiler alert, and I guess there's a hashtag in front of that still.
Yeah. Just hashtag spoiler alert.
There was a scene that I was furious, and I don't know why. Maybe it's me. But she's on a beach and she's looking for another guy to lure back to her sinking floor. And there's a family on the beach, and the dog runs out into the water and gets swept away. It's kind of forceful tides. And the mom goes out to get the dog. And the husband is like, "Whoa, wait, no, no, no." So he goes out to get the wife. Well, the guy that Scarlett Johansson's character is talking to sees this, and he runs out to get somebody from this family. But they all get swept away, and he comes back, and he's laying on the beach, and he's crying because he couldn't save them, and she hits him over the head with a rock and drags him away. And you look up, and there's a 2-year-old child. I'm going to say he's 2. He could have been younger than that. Probably was, because he could barely walk. And he's up there crying, and his mother and his father and his dog are dead now. And then she just walks right past this crying baby, which is okay. But then we come back later that night, and we see that baby closer down to the water, laying on the rocks, still crying in the dark. And I felt that was terribly unnecessary. I wanted to walk out. I don't like...
It sounds like a fantastic movie. So, right.
And it was, you know, kind of masturbatory, I felt, on the filmmakers, on the director's part. It seemed for the gratification of the filmmaker and not the viewer. But there are viewers who like that kind of film. I'm not one of them. I'm a pop culture kid. I really do enjoy pop music. I like blockbusters, you know, and then I like art house secondary, honestly, but this was even further than just art house. Yeah. It was, for me, after seeing all of that, and, you know, they do let us know what happens to these guys when they sink into the floor. And I think they kind of tell us why, kind of. And there's another character, a man, just a random man on a motorcycle, who seems obsolete to what might be a story, if there's a story. And then there's a part where I think this thing wants to explore, and this is where I'm getting into the watching my peers build the ware, that this thing wants to explore its humanity, and it's just, you know, basic acting 101 stuff, you know, and it's just like, so
it's kind of like a horror version of Her.
Is that what you got from what I said? If that's
said, it was exploring its new environment. Reminded me of Her.
Well, it's exploring its humanity.
Right.
And I think from that, we're supposed to develop some sensitivity for some compassion for this thing. But I'm sorry, after you leave a 2-year-old baby on a beach to die while its parents and its dog are dead in the water, I'm not going to build sympathy for you after that. At the end, I was satisfied with the ending. I'll say that.
All right.
And then the credits, I was like, I gotta get out of here. So,
well, that's also under in the theaters skin. This week is Transcendence.
Yes.
With Johnny Depp. I don't know where I sat with this movie. I'm still trying to. I love the setup of it. But I thought, you know, one thing about the end was I didn't really understand what the threat ultimately was to everybody, other than just not knowing, maybe.
And that's the point. I saw Transcendence, and I can tell you up front that I loved this movie.
Yeah.
I loved this movie. I cannot wait to see it again.
Yeah.
I loved it. But I'm very into where science and spirituality connect. I mean, I talk metaphysics with a lot of friends and those sorts of things. This was a beautiful look at human desire, human perspective, and where we place ourselves in the universe. During the Enlightenment, we placed ourselves at the apex of existence. And I think that in that era, we may have even replaced God with man. And that's kind of, transcendence says it all.
Sure.
When you think about enlightenment and the rise of consciousness.
Right. Now, in this movie, Johnny Depp plays this...
A
neuroscientist that's very much at the forefront of developing an artificial intelligence, and he's doing this based on
he's already created,
right? Mm-hmm. He can, you know, it's
self-aware,
basically by copying how people, like, their brain patterns process, and mm-hmm. it's trying to copy the human mind in order to, you know, and, you know, there's an accident, and, you know, his people, his wife, merge him with this AI he's created.
Well, but the thing that's special about his AI is that the AI is self-aware. That is right. What makes it different from other artificial intelligence, is that key part of human awareness he's given this machine. And that's what sets PIN. It's called PIN. That's what sets PIN apart. And Morgan Freeman, we can't forget he's in this film.
Yeah, because he's not in everything.
But it was just kind of like, oh, Morgan Freeman's in this.
My problem with the movie, I thought it was I loved it as a movie to think about, because it really raised a lot of very philosophical
Absolutely.
Questions.
You have to be a thinker to enjoy this film.
Part of my problem was some of the execution. I thought the pacing of the movie was slow. I mean, almost to the point where it felt like, because they're big, it's not an action movie, and I didn't need action, but there are some big moments that I thought were played too subtly.
Well, and that's actually what I enjoyed about the film, is that it gives you the time, you know, because it gives you the time to get the concept before it moves on.
And that's what I thought was kind of cool about it, was it is an extremely intelligent movie, but it doesn't speak over the head of its audience. You know, you don't have to be a scientist or up on technology to get where this movie's going. It does a very good job of explaining everything mm-hmm. without dumbing it down, but yet sounding... there is stuff that you'll just be like, wow, dude, this shit is way over my head. But you get what they're saying.
Yes, because what they do is, which is, I felt like there was a lot of time spent on the script. And Wally Pfister...
Yes.
Directed this film. And I felt like there was a lot of time spent, a lot of care spent with the script. And when they're giving these theories and philosophies, they give you something visual to go with it. So that it's twofold, that you're not just getting the information through dialogue, but there is an example. So when he says... they're a part of me now, immediately after we find out what that means. And
yeah,
I like that.
Right.
That's good.
There's a whole thing about, you know, it does raise questions about God, you know,
which could
turn people off. Well, but I think questions about science, and
what
God
our relationship
always...
with God should be, because it wasn't just, when some people say that we are God, that we are the embodiment of mm-hmm. God. When you think about it in terms of the Elohim, God is all things, including us, that we are co-heirs to the throne of heaven with Jesus. As he was the Son of God, so are we. This kind of takes, I would say, more of an Eastern approach, of course, with the word transcendence, it's more Buddhist in nature.
Yeah.
But it's the concept of being one with God and having the same power as God, because we are of God.
Yeah.
We are his image. We are the image. Is very intriguing, very interesting concept to make cinematic. And it's been done before, but I think it's fresh. And I think that this, I really enjoyed this film personally.
I enjoyed it. It was just like, for me, it was slowly paced. And one of my things about it is Wally Pfister, cinematographer for Christopher Nolan.
Mm.
Christopher Nolan was a producer on this movie.
Mm.
And at one point there was like 8 actors on screen that were in The Dark Knight Rises. And for me, it was kind of distracting.
Really?
Just because it was just like, oh, there's another guy. I mean, and I could feel the Nolan presence.
Well, I watch a lot of Adam Sandler movies, so I'm used to watching movies and having the same actors.
I don't know. It distracted me.
Sure.
You know, and it doesn't always, because, I mean, obviously you watch any movie that's an ensemble, you're going to see a collection. It just felt like, oh, and here's all these people that I literally just, because this is his first movie.
Mm-hmm.
So Christopher Nolan got all these guys that just were, you know, and it just felt like that for me because I noticed it.
Sure. And it might be distracting for other people.
I saw them all. And then when I saw Nolan's name, I was like, there you go. So, but otherwise, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
If you like to think about movies, go see it.
And it's also a love story.
Yeah.
It's not just the science. It's kind of sci-fi a little bit. It's not just that. It's not just this intellectual movie, but it's a romance.
I would have loved to have seen someone play his wife that was able to emote anything. Rebecca Hall.
I liked her.
Man, she is so...
The reason why I liked her...
I mean, I've seen her in 3
The reason why
movies.
I liked her in this role is because she is also... She is his partner in science. She's not just his wife.
Right.
And so I thought that she was able to play the, I guess, how we assume scientists are. They're a little bit more mental and less emotional, that they're a little bit more logical and less emotional.
Yeah,
and I
maybe
felt
it works
like,
there.
Yeah. And that's what I felt like that's what she was going for. But
she's like that in everything. She was in Iron Man 3 and that, you know, and again, it was just, and I think it's kind of like the Keanu Reeves acting, which I love Keanu, but in The Matrix, the perception of Keanu Reeves kind of being like that. Whoa. You know, it worked in the
Matrix
to where you could never see. So I kind of get, you know, but I think that's how she kind of is. The town, Iron Man 3, it's just always just very, just can't really express anything and all of her emotions. And I thought in this, she's scared. The love she, I mean, I liked the script and I liked the where it went. Right. I just thought. And
the way that I took it was that she was smart.
Yeah.
First, she was smart. First,
the movie just didn't touch me emotionally. I guess it just didn't touch me.
I was touched.
And I
was touched,
to be touched,
but
whoa, this is getting weird.
Yeah, you want to be touched? Right. Is that it?
So,
and I, it worked for me.
Okay.
I loved the twist at the end.
Yeah,
I really did love the twist at the end, where it was. It just was an amazing movie for me because I love these thinking movies.
It was a good movie for Johnny Depp. It seems like he's been on a bit of a...
I said, this is the Johnny Depp that we have been missing. He's
different.
Not a cartoon in this film at all.
No.
Most of it,
it's his voice.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah. And he...
Because too many times movies rely on just Johnny Depp being Johnny Depp. And
yeah. I mean, but he's not
weird,
like a crazy pirate he's not a character here. He is... This is the kind of work that made me fall in love with Johnny Depp. Now, granted, Edward Scissorhands, but Edward Scissorhands was... kind of, what's the word? It was new.
Yeah.
But all these years later, after so many roles along the same line, you know, it's kind of Johnny Depp's thing, you know, where Edward Scissorhands was like, oh my goodness, did you see this film? He, look at the costuming. And then, you know, but now it's like, look at the costuming. It's Johnny Depp right. again for so, me. So when he returns to the, you know, Nick of Time, I really enjoyed that film.
Yes, I did like that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just him acting, mm-hmm. not building a crazy character, but him in his deliciousness, right. you know, and he's beautiful.
I'd like to see him do more movies like this. I like pirates and I'm looking forward to them doing another pirate movie, but I want to see him. I want to see more of this and not just like there's been rumor talk, you know, how rumors get started about casting, but that allegedly Disney wants him for Doctor Strange in their Marvel series, which, like, of course Disney wants, you know, but
right,
you know, that again would just be another Johnny Depp in a right. costume being a suit, which not necessarily a bad thing.
And he's good at what he does, but for me, I prefer him this way.
I'd rather, yeah.
Yeah.
Like Tonto. I didn't like him as Tonto, like at all.
You know, I mean,
it just seemed wrong on every level.
What was it? Ed Wood?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ed Wood, Burton film.
Yeah. I liked that, you know, I go with him, you know, to those places, you know, I was not the Willy Wonka thing. I didn't like that.
No, I didn't like that movie at all.
No.
I thought that was, we've talked about bad remakes. That would be one of my least
favorites. Yeah.
Cause that was, I mean, obviously not just because the original was classic and it part of my childhood. I'm at the understanding. I get that they need to remake movies to tap into today's. So fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was just so over the top. Story wise, closer to the book, fine. But just it was a chance for Johnny Depp to put on makeup and act weird.
Yes.
With this movie, he's very normal and
he's a man. He's a person, and it's just perfect. Yeah. It's just perfect. For me, it was perfect.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I thought it was a little slow, but that's really my only.
I would give it.
The other girl in it. The one that was like his former.
Oh, I don't like her. She's
miscast. And she's going to be. She plays Michael B. Jordan's sister in Fantastic Four.
That's her?
Yes.
I'm not a fan of this actress.
She's always so miscast. Kate Mara? She's Rooney Mara's sister.
Oh, is she now?
Yeah.
She
was in 24. She was. Oh, but every time
she's on House of Cards.
Is she?
On Netflix. And she's in this. There's a song. I don't even know the name of the song. It's a song that we play at my job. And I love the song. But she's in the video. And I'm just like.
She was in Iron Man 2, Shooter, 127 Hours, House of Cards.
Yeah.
American Horror Story.
She's all over.
She's one of those, when she shows up, it's just like, oh man.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I was disappointed she was in the film.
Former, whatever. She worked with them and now she's like a little rebel fighter. Fighting again. That was just like, whatever. I just don't believe her in anything she's casting.
I mean, I thought that they were, what she represented was completely necessary.
Sure.
How we would feel, you know, because we were with them. We were like, oh my God, you got to stop this thing. You got to, you know, and then, like I said, the end was just like,
yeah.
Because, and then that's what really got to the heart of human understanding. It makes human desire look pretty nasty. It makes human desire grotesque.
It does, you know, because there is a whole, you know, is this intelligent, you know, because they question, it's not really him, you know, as he gets uploaded into this AI, you know, is it really him or is this the AI taking his and manipulating everybody? And it starts doing, you know, I mean, they think it's building an army. I mean, I don't want to get in too much into what it's doing.
Yeah, because you're going to have to put a spoiler
soon. Question about who the good guys in this are.
Yeah.
You know, so.
All right. It's.
Okay.
I loved it. I can't wait to see it again.
Enjoy it more now that I've talked about it.
Yes.
But it's still, you know, like I said,
one of those movies.
The two female characters I just couldn't get behind, and the pacing I thought was very slow. But I think that's kind of a thing with a Nolan film is sometimes they're just too deliberately paced. It was a problem with Dark Knight Rises and...
I liked the pacing. I liked everything about this film.
Well, no, I'm glad.
But I think that you're right. It's one of those films that's better for the conversation that happens afterwards.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
That's a good point. Anyways, so the other big release this week is A Haunted House 2.
A Haunted House 2, which we've both seen.
We saw it with
Marlon Wayans in the house.
Yeah, it is a special screening about a month ago. So it was kind of cool. And then we had him on our show for when we were at Comic-Con. We'll play that interview here in just a minute in case you missed it.
That's right.
I think we talked with him, and I'm not reviewing this for Examiner or KC Live this week because I'm not going on KC Live this week, but... This movie had laughs, I thought, and it's hard to review these spoof films because they are what they are. They're not made for critics. They're made to be completely obnoxious and as outrageous as possible and get you to laugh and make you, kind of embarrassed that you're laughing, kind of a deal. I did think it was better than the first one. I don't know if you... seen the first one?
It's on Netflix. I played it, and unfortunately, I was laying down, and I fell asleep before the credits were done.
Yeah.
The opening credits were done. So I can't... I unfortunately can't sit here and compare it, but I've heard things.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of the same jokes,
right.
That are upped in, if you think about the... scene with him and the doll.
Oh my goodness. I hear it compared to the scene with the bear in the first one.
Yeah, it's the bear in the first one. So if you've seen the first one, he fucks a stuffed animal and kind of gets ups the ante in the next one. If you've seen The Conjuring, you're never going to look at that as I think it's Annabelle and The Conjuring. Oh man, you'll never look at that doll the same. My daughter the other day comes up and she's got the little promo doll for when Conjuring came out.
Uh-huh.
She's like, hey, I forgot that. I was like, get that. I'm just imagining. That's just an image I have to get out of my head. No offense.
Well, A Haunted House 2 was a lot of fun. I sat through the film with my mouth agape.
It's not for kids.
Do not bring your children.
No.
Don't do it.
We gave out some passes for it, and at one point my mom emailed me and was like, hey, can I get some of those? That'd be a good movie to take, my nieces to. And I just was like, No.
You want to take that and...
My kids saw part of the first one before. I was like, hey, why don't you guys go in the other room and watch something? Because some of those spoofs are pretty tame. The scary movies got pretty tame. They're more like Airplane movies,
It's okay, PG-13. Cool.
But yeah, this is a very hard R.
Yes.
And, it's Wayans,
it's
brother.
It's a double R.
Wayans, it's Wayans comedy. If you that style. If you like it, see this movie. If you don't like these spoof movies,
because
this is making fun of the Paranormal Activity movies and, the kind of the recent The Conjuring, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
I have to be honest that, I loved Don't Be a Menace in South Central while drinking juice in the hood. That was my movie. I loved that movie.
Yep.
D, that is his name. He got to get out the game. What?
That was a great...
And Bernie Mac in that movie.
Oh, Bernie Mac. I miss him.
I hate my lips because they black, or whatever he said. Or my gums. I hate my gums because they black.
I miss Bernie Mac. Bernie Mac was awesome.
I know. It was just a really fantastic movie. And it was written by Marlon and Sean, right? It's really cool. Really cool movie. But after that movie, I kind of felt... that level of comedy, the younger brothers didn't quite measure up to the level of comedy and intelligence, the comedy of the older brothers. And so, and Kim Wayans. And so I've kind of struggled with, cause my mom used to watch their show religiously.
Mm-hmm.
And I would watch it occasionally too. And I liked Mo Money. I did like that one. But I kind of didn't watch a lot of younger Wayans work. Sure. I was with them for In Living Color, like everybody. You know, they made stars of so many people with that show. And, but I was, you know, like, I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. That's one of the best movies, best comedies of all time, you know.
I'll tell you what, why don't we, right now, we're going to play the interview.
Yes.
Let you guys listen to it. And then we'll talk a little bit more about him while we wait for our guest to get here. So, all right.
All right.
So here is our interview, Marlon Wayans from Comic-Con in March. March 15th, was it?
Sure.
Yeah, something like that. All right, yeah. So listen up. All right, here we are. We are coming to you from Planet Comic-Con in Kansas City, Missouri, right from Bartle Hall. This place is absolutely crazy today, and we have an awesome special guest to start us off. First of all, let me introduce my beautiful co-host, my traveling companion, Lonita Cook, is here with us.
I am Lonita Cook, your friendly neighborhood film critic, and we are here with...
We're here with Mr. Marlon Wayans, man. The man from Haunted House 2, from G.I. Joe.
Not waiting for the intro, just...
I'm just watching all that's going by. I feel like died and went to, like, nerd heaven. This is
Well, I was going to ask you if you had a geek card.
No, they won't let me in.
They won't let you in?
Actually, I respect the hell out of geeks because they're actually so much... They're actually in the future, and everybody else is in the past.
Oh.
Growing up... Geeks are actually, they had all the comic books. I used to steal the comic books. That's how I learned to read. But they knew all the Spider-Mans. They knew all the Hulks. They knew that 30 years later that this would be the new wave of filmmaking. Right. The biggest things are, because what they understood was story, character, conflict, and that leads to, you know, great
and
movies.
And
costumes. You put somebody in some tights and you have them kick some ass for a reason, and, you know, it's rocking. So nerds are actually, you know, not nerds. They're actually the cool kids.
So are you saying we might see you in a superhero film anytime soon?
No, damn, no. I did G.I. Joe. That's enough for me. I bow out. If
it?
I did one, I would do a funny superhero. I would do The Mask, or I would do Plastic Man.
Plastic Man.
Yeah, those are the two I would like to do.
Now, is it true that years ago that you were kind of recruited for maybe the Batman and Robin to play Robin?
Yeah, I was supposed to play Robin. I got paid for it. I got a check. I bought my mama. No, I didn't buy my mama nothing with that one. But I bought me some cool-ass Jordans. I bought a car, Honda Accord EX, that my nephew crashed and left it. Yeah, I still get residual checks for like $2.37.
Every time it airs on TNT or whatever?
After it airs like 16 times, then I get a
$2.37
check.
Oh, there you go.
That is the tallest Wonder Woman ever. Oh, my God. That is crazy.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's crazy out here. Well, I think you're probably better off for missing.
It's like
that
the 50-foot woman became... look at that. Look at Wonder Woman.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh,
Catwoman
wow,
got a lot of
is.
Ass.
Now,
I didn't
if they're
know
looking for their Wonder
ass.
Woman, they need
like,
look
no
further.
Tail, just all ass.
So, do you ever go to the big Comic-Con out in San Diego?
I've been there before. I've been there like two or three times. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy... it's weird y'all being over here because when I'm talking... Yeah. Maybe I should sit there and you should sit here because then I can look at both you guys because I feel like... When I'm looking at you, she's talking about me behind my back.
She might be too. That's true.
But
if you guys want to switch real quick,
we good. What's it saying? But one in, this is like Comic Con, like baby Comic Con.
Oh yeah.
The other one is crazy.
Oh, I bet
it's ridiculous. You really feel like you're in outer space.
I bet that place is even more mad. But you know, because they go out there, they do all the big movies.
People don't
drive
the there. They actually, what's that thing that they transport there? They what's that called when you? In Star Wars, they used to do it all the time.
Hyperdrive?
No, beam me up, Scotty, and they used to dissolve. And is that transport?
Yes.
They used to transport there. See, I used to watch. I'm a little bit of a nerd, I guess. I still like to admit it. I was the uncool kid in school. The only thing that made me cool was my funny.
My mom was a Trekkie, so it was all Star Trek and Quantum Leap and in my house growing up.
I'm very attracted to your mom.
Well, I will let her know.
The Trekkie girls, I used to always think were sexy. Because they used to wear those outfits with the little Star Trek thing on it. And I used to want to act like they were Aurora. And I was Captain Kirk.
All
right,
now.
And we have sex in the back.
See, I'm no longer thinking about my mama right now.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Wow. I'm sorry. I made it weird?
That's all right.
I'm sorry.
So is this the first time you've been to Kansas City?
No, I've been to Kansas City before. I come here when I'm on tours sometimes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like it. I like Kansas City. You guys keep trying to feed me barbecue.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave here like 25 pounds fatter.
Yeah, that is the thing about coming to KC is you're definitely going to have, and there's so many different places, so you're always going to have somebody trying to give you some of the different Gates.
You got Gates,
Oklahoma Joe's,
and Gates.
So you've had Gates, you've had Bryant's.
I haven't had Bryant's, and I haven't had Johnson's, and I haven't. They got everybody. You pick a last name, they got them. Johnson,
Oklahoma Joe's is the one.
Oklahoma Joe's.
There you go.
All
right, we.
Okay, so you've got a Haunted House 2 coming up.
Yes.
Coming up next month. Talk a little bit about the movie and, you know, where you're at with it.
It's crazy as the first one. Somewhat a little crazier. We had a screening last night in Kansas City. Went really well. I was really happy about that. You know, I had a lot of fun making it, and I hope the audience has fun watching it.
Absolutely.
I always tell people, I'm not going to change your life. Hopefully I change your mood and your laugh a little bit. That's all.
Yeah, and we really enjoyed it. Hilarious movie.
Thank you.
You know, we talked to you on Friday at KC Live, you know, about being a critic. You know, you can't critique movies like this.
No,
you know,
just
the way you can, you know, other movies, you know, because you're going out, you're writing this, you're just trying to be funny. You want us to laugh, you want us to be entertained. And
I go to all lengths.
Haven't seen the movie.
Nowhere I will not go to try and make people laugh. And hopefully, I did that a couple of times. I think if you laugh 5 times in a movie, it's a good comedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And especially, totally right. I look at these comedies now, like 2.5 hours long. This is a good 87 minutes of just, you know, some really crazy stuff. You get in, you get out.
Absolutely. Now, what is it about the horror genre that you think is just so ripe for spoofing?
Yeah,
that's what I wanted to know. Movies?
Is it really comedy or is it horror? I mean, which one has your passion?
It's a horror comedy. I just think they share the same setups. And different, like, punchlines. The punchline is like the setup is always tension, tension, tension. And then in a horror movie, your release is the scare. In a comedy, it's tension, 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 and your release is a laugh. I think that and the fact that I like making fun of dark shit. Stop. You can't curse.
Yes, you do.
Go for it.
Shit. I like making fun of dark shit.
Yeah, feel free. Use the word.
My
use the word.
The
words,
darker,
please.
The better. Really? Mine? Please, mine. I don't give a shit.
Yours will not.
Look, this guy got no Planet of the Apes outfit on. I mean, face, nothing. He just got the jacket. That's weird. Sorry.
No, you're good, man. All
There's
right.
So much to watch. Like,
there is a lot going on. We
like
came out yesterday.
Worse than
and it was
interviewing somebody on Miami Beach with a bunch of half naked girls.
But that might be a little bit better scenery than this.
Yeah, no, this
right?
is
but there are probably some half naked girls walking around here. They are here.
Yeah, some in weird costumes. So you know you got to wash the makeup off to see what you got or not.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just deal with the fantasy. You know.
Get with the fantasy. That's what's up. I am pro fantasy.
She said, "That's what's up." Obviously, the way you said, "That's what's up." Like you see that dude right there. You see Aquaman. I'm about to sit on his face.
Oh shoot. yeah.
Linda, I'm doing an interview. I don't know.
We are looking at. What are we looking at?
Oh, yeah. There's ass all over.
We
here.
Have
there's
a pony seen with a
ass.
Lot
it might
of
not
ass.
Be the, it might not be the kind of ass you want to see, but there's asses hanging out all over the
man
place.
Man pony ass.
Saw ass out
man,
of
man pony
a
ass.
Metal uniform yesterday.
There's
it was
a
out.
Lot of stuff to look at.
Absolutely, there is. So you've worked with a lot of different directors, you know, from Darren Aronofsky to Coen Brothers. You do your own thing. What kind of movies do you prefer? I mean, besides comedy. I mean, if you know, when you branch out of your normal comfort zone as the comedy, what do you like to get into?
I like it all, man. All genres, I think. I just love acting. I love making make-believe believable.
Yeah.
I think it's a blessing. I don't really care which way. I just as long as it's a good script with a good story,
sure.
And working with a good director, and you get to have your take on a character, I think it's all fun.
Yeah,
I'll do porno.
I have noticed.
That's why I put porno in my comedies. I was a big fan of porn growing up.
A big fan.
Yeah, huge fan.
Was it in the era when it was a magazine
off.
Kept under the mattress?
First time I jerked off, I just touched it and it just shot off all over the place. And I thought my dick was broke. And I called my brother. I was like, Sean, I think it's broke. White stuff came out. He goes, no, stupid, you had an orgasm. I was like, really? He said, yes. I said, can you excuse me? And I went and had another orgasm. That's awesome.
And did you say it when writing your own eye? Did you say that?
No, went all over the place. All over me.
All
I grabbed
the
toilet and I fell down.
I was like, it went in my own eyes.
And it was to Vanessa Del Rio. And for the rest of my teenage years, I used to always look for Vanessa Del Rio. Did you masturbate to Vanessa Del Rio?
I'm not going to answer that.
That's a yes.
Well,
you got excited. You got an orgasm right there.
All right, we got time for one more question.
Everybody knows who she is.
One more question.
Now, this was brought up at the screening last night. I wanted to see if you'd elaborate. Somebody asked you when you guys are coming back to TV. The Lemon Color, one of the best. But I would more like to see at least you guys come back and just do a one-night special. What would be the odds of that happening?
A special, yeah, we would do.
You know, something where, you know, you just come back, you guys write a few sketches.
A special, we would do.
I think that would be amazing.
We thought about doing a series of specials. That we would do. To come back to TV on a weekly, I don't know. It's not my plans right now.
I'm
setting up my next movies, and, you know, I'm really into making movies. I got my online digital network, whatthefunny.com. You guys be sure to check it out. We drop a lot of funny sketches on that. But right now, I'm loving movies.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But maybe specials, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what
we're
do.
Loving movies, too.
There you
Before
go.
You get
like
out of here.
Mayweather, they got the money team. We do the funny team.
There you
Crazy.
Go.
Crazy.
Got the muscle on it team.
Hello.
All right. So tell us about April 25th. You'll be back, Kansas City?
April 25th, I'm going to be at the Improv with my brother Sean. April 25th at the Improv in KC. And I'll be eating some more damn barbecue and be doing stand-up with my brother Sean at the Improv out there. So make sure you guys come check it out. And April 18th, the week before, I need you all to do me a favor and go check out A Haunted House 2.
A Haunted House 2. What's your Twitter handle?
At Marlon Wayans. At Marlon Wayans. And you can hit me on Instagram, too, at Marlon Wayans. If you tweet me, I normally tweet you back. If you say some foul shit, I'll say foul shit back to you. It's a wonderful, loving relationship.
Symbiotic.
Yes.
Absolutely.
This guy looks like he's trying to, like, a perverted, like, Star Trekkie. Like, he looks like a perverted nerd. Like, he's trying to find out the square root of everybody's vagina.
Oh. That's an answer I think we all need.
There you go.
The square root
of everybody's vagina.
Of everybody's.
I guess we'll have to work on that.
He's
maybe
working
we can
on the formula right now. Radius times pi. That was weird.
All right.
All right. That's going to be it for Marlon Wayans. Thank you
so
much for coming in and seeing
awesome
us today. Enjoy
thank
the rest
you.
Of your time
Beautiful.
In Kansas City, buddy. All right.
Travel safely.
So there you go. That was our
was
little
Marlon
interview.
Wayans.
That was kind of cool,
yes.
I thought.
He
know.
Was so beautiful. He was so gracious. And that's one of the things, what I was getting at before, is that my heart has been changed toward him because he is such a down-to-earth. You never know what to expect when you meet somebody. And he was just fun. He was funny. He was generous with his time. He was, and I said, you know what? I really like this guy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool, you know, and to be in kind of the environment of the Comic-Con experience.
Yeah, that was
good time. It was kind of a cool deal for the Tim and Lo show and kind of awesome that we had that chance to talk to him.
Great
even,
time.
You know, short as it was, but... So it was kind of cool. So I don't know.
It was my first Comic-Con, so.
Yeah, there you go. And you have a nice little celebrity experience. And
that's right.
Josh got to meet him. Josh is a big fan of
Josh
Requiem
Wise,
for a Dream,
our so. Sound engineer.
Yeah.
The third man on the Tim and Lo show.
Yeah. How you doing over there, Josh?
I'm doing just fine.
Yeah. He's hanging
Really?
Back.
Just fine?
Listen to us babble. She's here. She's coming around. So,
okay.
All right. So we're going to get talking to Miss Sarah Smith.
Okay. Well, while we're waiting on Sarah Smith to join us, some really cool news. So iOrigins, a movie that played at Sundance this year is where I saw it. It is going to be in theaters July 18th this year. It was picked up by Fox Searchlight and, it's one of those thinking movies, and I saw it, and
this is iOrigins,
and it's one of those films that if you enjoy conversations like metaphysics and, you know, what we are in this universe and, you know, humanist spirituality and those sorts of things, then you will definitely you will definitely enjoy this film. I hope that we get a screening here so that I can formally see it and formally
it's got dude from Walking Dead in it. It's got Glenn in it. That's all you had to say.
All right, now. I have been watching Walking Dead. So, but yes, and so I'm very excited that we have a theatrical release date for iOrigins.
Awesome. So, all right, so that's iOrigins. Yeah, a molecular biologist and his laboratory partner uncover evidence that may fundamentally change society as we know it. That sounds pretty awesome.
It is really incredible film. I think that was a review right there. But I did see it at Sundance. I saw it at Sundance, not as a member of the press. I go to Sundance as a volunteer annually, and so I hope it's okay.
Is that your in? You volunteer out there? I thought you just went.
Oh no! I volunteer, okay. And the way that my friend of mine was a screener for the Institute, and we hadn't seen each other. She's living in LA, and she used to work in the Berkeley. No, not Berkeley. What's another B place? Beverly Hills.
Boston.
No, Beverly Hills in California.
Oh, okay.
The Beverly Hills office of the Institute, and we hadn't seen each other for a while, and she was like, you want to just meet up at the festival? And I was like, oh, I can't afford to go to that festival. Where are we going to stay? She said, okay, if I go as a volunteer, I can get lodging and you can come as a volunteer and stay with me. And so that's what we did. She went to the festival and she's like, it's cold. I need to get back to LA. She hasn't been back. I go every year. This is 8 years now.
I'll go out there with you next year.
If you come as a volunteer. Now, here's the thing. It's very unusual for first year volunteers to get lodging. Mm. And it's about $400 a night at like Best Western or something
awesome.
Like that to stay. Because it's, Sundance. I mean, I could be exaggerating, but it's pretty expensive during the festival. And Park City is beautiful. So you would have to request lodging with me.
Uh-oh.
And I don't know that Park City is ready for the Tim and Lowe showdown.
Okay? Yeah. So, all right, here in just a moment, we're going to talk to Sarah Smith from the Kansas City Star.
In just a moment, but if I can make another announcement about some local stuff. So, Dickinson Theaters, May is for kids. So, they're teaming up with Variety, which is the children's charity of Greater Kansas City, Tent 8. And they are dedicating the month of May to raise money for families in the Kansas City area with special needs children. And they're going to do it through the sale of two awesome movie deals, which are available at all area locations. And the deals are a $1 popcorn bag and a $3 limited edition gold Darth Vader pin by Variety Children's Charity, which is awesome for people like you. I am not your father. No, I am your father.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Dickinson Theater locations, if you're not aware, Palazzo 16, West Glen 18, Great Mall, East Glen 16, and North Glen 14. And that's May 1st through May 31st. And that's for Variety
cool.
of the Children's
Cool. Yeah, we'll get on and do that. There's lots of great movies coming out this summer, which we're going to talk about. But here, let's do our summer TV preview.
Let's talk about it.
Okay, right now we are joined by Sarah Smith of the Kansas City Star. Sarah, welcome to the Tim and Lowe Show.
Hi.
Sarah writes for the Kansas City Star, and starting next week, you can catch her Game of Thrones reviews on RottenTomatoes.com. And we took a break there a few minutes ago that was uncaught by our recording devices, where we teased Josh with an awesome thing that happened. So now, here in about 5 bucks, you have something to look forward to. So, all right. So Sarah is going to talk about some awesome shows coming out this summer. This is our finale of our show, our season finale. And so we want to set up all the TV and TV stuff for this summer. So, first of all, what do you think of summer programming? I like it because, you get a lot of game shows and it's a lot, but more now over the last couple of years, networks are developing more programming, more original programming for the summer. What do you think's working right now for summer? What do you think's the best way to go with summer programming?
There are a lot of new game shows coming out this summer. They don't really wow me. That's not really my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But a lot of networks are not shying away from introducing new shows in the summer. They'll have a season finale of a show that was doing something successful, and they'll stick the premiere of a new series on right after it to try to keep you going, you know, just keep tuning in every Friday night or whatever.
Sure.
So there are a couple of premieres this summer that I think might actually be good.
All right, let's hear one of them.
Okay, well, if you can afford Showtime, there's a series called Penny Dreadful coming up pretty soon here on May 11th. And this is a sort of mashup of a bunch of origin horror stories where they've gotten characters from Dracula and Dorian Gray and Frankenstein together in one reality in Victorian London. And so it's going to be just a really dark reward for everybody who actually read those books when they were in junior high. And it's from the writer of Skyfall, and it's also produced by Sam Mendes, who directed that last Bond movie.
Right.
Which was amazing.
Yes,
right.
It was.
So that's one of the reasons I have high hopes for it. Oh. It stars Josh Hartnett, and also Eva Green, who's in the latest 300 sequel in theaters now.
Yeah.
And she was in Dark Shadows. So I think she likes to do some dark comic material.
She was also a Bond girl at one point.
Yeah, so there's a lot of that resume coming over from Bond.
Yeah, but, Timothy Dalton's in there.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be sort of a literary sort of thing with a lot of action thrown in and probably a real bloody since it's on Showtime. But
right.
I'm excited about it. I think it could be
pretty interesting.
Penny Dreadful. Take.
And when does that begin? Do you know a start date on that one?
May 11th.
May 11th. All right. What do you think on that one, Lonita? What do you think about mashing literature characters together like that?
I'm excited. Those are some of, like she said, the classics, and putting them all together is, I hope that they're able to be successful in giving us something interesting, something thoughtful, something fun too.
Something different.
Because it could be really fun.
Well,
I like period shows. So I would definitely tune in if I could afford Showtime.
I do HBO right now because of Game of Thrones. I don't have Showtime though. I might have to check it out. So I have time or a cable.
Well, for me, it's a matter of not just getting cable, but I'd have to get a TV also.
That helps if you're gonna watch stuff. Of course, you know,
I do Netflix.
There's so many ways to watch things now, Lonita. Yeah. In this,
I watch Hulu and Netflix
age.
And.
Your computer and your smartphone, stuff like that. So, all right. So that was Penny Dreadful. That sounds pretty cool. What else you got?
All right. Well, I have a couple coming up that you can catch on network. There's a new drama coming out from Fox. It starts on May 22nd, and it's called Gang Related. And this is another show with a twist. Usually, we'll see a crime show where a member of the cops is undercover with, like, a biker gang. In this case, a street gang has infiltrated the gang task force of the San Francisco cops. So it's sort of a role reversal there. It looks to be very intense. It's got Terry O'Quinn from Lost.
He's awesome.
And it's got the guy from The Wire, Ramon Rodriguez, who was Omar's lieutenant in season 4. So I'm looking forward to that. I need a good cop show. There's so many mediocre ones.
Often they all seem like they're the same. You know, even the ones that start off with like an interesting premise, the formula usually drives it to where it's kind of a repeat.
I think the most interesting one of recent was Dexter, if you can really call that a cop show.
Yeah.
You know, it had some cops in it.
You have to take something that's familiar and you have to put an interesting spin on it. And those are the shows that manage to stand out. This sounds interesting. It sounds like it has a little bit of a... What's the one with Matt Damon and The Departed? Maybe a little bit of that where it's, you know...
Sure.
Bad guys infiltrating the good guys. That's kind of cool. So, and Terry O'Quinn, you can't go wrong with Terry O'Quinn.
That's not true. I actually like Rizzoli and Isles. I do like that. And, of course, Law & Order.
Seriously?
Yeah, I like Rizzoli and Isles. Two sexy chicks.
One of those two going to just admit that they're in love and get together.
You know?
I mean, come on.
Now when
any
I see those commercials,
now.
What is that on USA?
It's on TNT.
TNT, yeah. Those are the same channel, aren't they, basically?
You know what?
I just mean now when I'm watching those, see those commercials, I'm like, who the hell watches this? Oh, Lonita.
Yes. I'm so sad that Psych is over.
You Psych know? Was a great comedy. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. It was. It was Scooby-Doo, live-action Scooby-Doo, if you will. Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was
and I guess that would be another cop show. So I guess it's not being fair. But when I think about, like, NCIS and CSI, the one with, what's his name, James Caviezel?
Person of interest.
Yeah. Person of interest. I think people really like that one still.
That one's a little better than your average procedural.
Yeah. It's for a while there, it kind of got into that same, the pattern of, you know, not necessarily the monster of the week, but, you know, the bad guy of the week kind of a deal. But that show's got a pretty good mythology running if you follow along long enough. And, you know, it's, of course, it's got another guy from Michael Emerson from Lost. And any time somebody from Lost gets thrown into a show, I'm going to give it a chance.
Okay.
All right. But that doesn't always pan out. So, whatever. All right, so that's Fox. And now Fox has the show that I'm most excited about this summer, and that's the return of 24. I'm so excited for Jack Bauer to be back in action. TV is so sorely missed him, although at the end of that run, would that show last for 9 years? It had run its course. I really thought season 1 and 5 were the best of that show. And I've always thought season 1 was one of the best seasons of television because what, you know, broke the ground of, you know, the real-time storytelling. And
right.
I thought it ended with a terrific finale, shocking. Of course, then, you know, after that, it had to try to repeat all those things that made it that success. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. And by the end, it was just horrible characters, horrible plot lines, mm-hmm. and a concept that, you know, when you're trying to stretch something out for 24 episodes, they lost steam. They were losing steam too much. But
yeah, I didn't necessarily get into 24. I started watching it on Netflix. Mm-hmm. A dear friend of mine recommends it. She highly recommends it. And Reese Quaro, is that how you pronounce his last name? Was a character on there, and I have a huge crush on him
as
well.
He's
the one that played Billy Walsh on Entourage. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was on there. That's right.
He was on 24.
At one point, it seemed like everybody was on 24 at
right.
one point or another. So, Kate Mara, we talked about her just a little bit ago. She was awful on 24, too.
Wow.
So,
but, you know, before you weigh in about 24, I want to hear more about Crossbones that's coming out on NBC.
Yeah, that's on my list to talk about here. I'm excited about that. Now, this is based on a journalistic history of Blackbeard by a guy named Colin Woodard. So it's actually based in history. But it's been adapted for TV from the same guy who brought us Luther, which I don't know if you guys have seen, but it's an excellent show. Yes. So Neil Cross is bringing us that show. So, and, you know, the fact that it has John Malkovich as Blackbeard, I'm just like, I'm in. I'm in,
totally.
At least for the premiere, you know, I can't not. So, yeah, but, you know, it's got a lot of legitimate pirate history in it, I guess. I have better hopes for it than I had for Black Sails, which...
Now, do you foresee...
Michael Bay one? Yeah.
...that viewers will have to have an interest in pirates to enjoy this show?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think NBC is going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it's just going to end up being a little more closer to the truth than your average
excellent
pirate show.
Now, being this is on NBC, I imagine this will get a later. Do you know what time slot this is going to be in?
I think it's going to be Friday nights. It wouldn't surprise me if this is Friday nights at 9.
At 9? Yeah.
I'm not positive about that. I have to check. But, yeah, I can't imagine that they would put that on at 7.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering is whether or not a story... Because, you know, with pirates, they have to be, you know, pretty ruthless, you know?
I think this is, you know, this is a network that is showing us all that stuff on Hannibal every week. I think we're going to see some gore and some hardcore stuff on Crossbones as well.
All right. So, all right, that's Crossbones, and that starts when?
May 30th.
May 30th, so, and that's on NBC.
NBC,
so
yes.
Be looking for that. That, you know, that's cool. I like pirates.
That's our network.
It seems like, you know, hopefully it doesn't become, I don't know, like with vampires, whereas, like, all of a sudden everybody's got to have a pirate show now, you know, because, was it Stars? Is that who does the other one?
Yes, okay. Black Sails is on Stars.
Yeah, Black Sails, so.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody has to do a vampire show. Guillermo del Toro, I think, has the new vampire show coming up on FX.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's called The Strain. So,
yeah.
Vampires are not going anywhere.
Yeah,
they should not be going anywhere. I will say that I am a huge vampire fan. I am a vampire lover. My boyfriend's a vampire. I'm just kidding. I don't have a boyfriend.
Okay. So Lanita and her boyfriend. This one's a vampire. All right. So, okay. So that's... What else you got? What's three of your five?
The night before that on NBC, there's a new sitcom coming out that actually they seem pretty confident about. So that could be either a good thing or a bad thing. But it's from the creator of Scrubs. Okay. So it should have, and that guy, his name is Bill Lawrence. He's really good at establishing a voice for a show right away. Mm-hmm. And all of the main characters on that show were comics who already knew each other and were good friends, and so they would already sit around, and they had that instant rapport. A lot of shows, like, you can tell that people aren't used to working with each other yet. That's not going to be an issue with this show. So, and it's called Undateable, and it's basically, you know, it's not going to break the mold as far as premises. It's a bunch of people having terrible dating experiences who are all friends talking about it. But you know what? Those shows have, you know, that's what Friends was. That's what Seinfeld was. There's a lot of good... you know, material there that's never going to end. So I have high hopes for
High Adele. Hopes.
Yes.
High expectations.
And, you know, I just in the mail today got 6 episodes of it. So they already have 6 episodes in the can.
Nice.
That means they know what they're doing.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And, you know, like you said, the friends, you know, the group of friends aspect's never going to, you know, go out of style with sitcoms. And it's a popular format. So that's Undateable. All right, Undateable. And Bill Lawrence, yeah, he's solid. I like Scrubs for most of its run.
Right. I should be the central character on that show. I feel so undateable.
But you're not undateable. You're just... We'll get into that later. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to say... I wouldn't say anything bad. I don't mean it that way. Don't mean it's a sound that way.
Wow. I think we're going to have to revisit that. I was just making a little joke, but I think there's a...
And then I open my mouth and I can't close it again.
You have something you need to say.
Not at all. Now, before we get to your last one, what a... Go back to this end of the season here. Is there anything that's on the cutting, the chop block for getting canceled?
Mm.
That any big shows that you think are going to get the axe here? And I am inspired by this question because you said something about Hannibal. Mm-hmm. Has that been renewed yet?
No, it's not. I can't imagine that they would cancel it though. Yeah. I feel like if the same people that approved it, knowing what it was going to be. And look at it and see what it's done. I would be very upset. Yeah. I would be one of those fans who was like, "You can't cancel my show," and I would try to convince some other network to pick it up.
Sure.
You know? And I don't think I'm alone.
Yeah, I don't think it'd have a hard time getting picked up.
So, you know, I really respect that show. It as violent. Well, I should say, as gory as it is, mm-hmm. you really see violence used for exploitation on that. And Brian Fuller. Who adapted it for TV and was also the Pushing Daisies guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's said before that he wants to not make the show something where you tune in every week and you see some woman getting raped and terrorized.
Right.
He wants to make sure that it's obvious that this is a fantasy world we're operating in. And so within that context, you can show this awful violence and murder and whatnot. Mm. But it's never supposed to feel as though you're watching it with sort of to be titillated. And I think that's a hard line to walk, but I think that show does it really successfully. And I manage to be horrified while I'm watching it, but I'm never scared afterward, and I never feel as though anybody in the real world was sort of standing in as a victim on that show.
Sure.
So, yes, please, you know, renew Hannibal.
Yeah.
That's right.
Support Hannibal.
TV gods.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. And if you don't have an answer for this, then that's fine. But I'm a huge Supernatural fan. Tell me everything.
Tell you everything? I am not a huge Supernatural fan.
Man.
I'm sorry. but I do... Yeah, there's a reason the show's been on as long as it has.
Yes.
And, you know, they care. They're not just throwing stuff up there. I think it probably should wind up pretty soon.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
How long has that been on?
7 seasons. 8. It was renewed for
really
2 more seasons, right?
Yeah, I think, yeah. There's at least one more season coming. And mm-hmm. I just think not enough shows wrap up gracefully when they should. And that's probably one where... it could probably stand to do that pretty soon and still walk out with its head held high.
Yes.
Yeah, that's hard to do after that long. Because, yeah. You know, when you start pushing any story that long, it's really a money thing. It becomes actors, yep, we'll do it for more money. And everybody, you know, X-Files was the one that drove me nuts, you know, because that became the yearly, we're done after the season, no wait. Mm-hmm. Everybody got more money. And finally, you know, even David Duchovny's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Can't, you know, so... And then they kept going, which was right. A mistake.
So,
you know?
So the life of a series, of an American series, should be about 6-7 seasons. You think that's
five.
a good length to really get the story out there, to really involve the viewers, really explore those characters, and say everything that they need to say? About 5-6 seasons, you say?
You know, it depends on the show. I think if it's a you know, sort of monster of the week thing, you can carry that on a little longer. Mm-hmm. If it's a story that really focuses on the characters and their journey, I'm not going to watch them having the same conflicts over and over again. I've just about had it with Don Draper. Like, okay, wow, you're attracted to another woman who's not your wife. Groundbreaking, you know. So, you know, there are,
you got that in the first episode.
Whenever there are themes just start to be repeated,
yes,
and you feel like it's a slog, mm-hmm. you know. They should wind it up.
Yeah.
And then you have too many times they go through multiple showrunner changes and the focus gets changed and, you know,
right.
they all, you know, and it just all of a sudden becomes things are contradicting other events in the show. And it's like, what are we watching for? Just because it's on. So, all right, let's get to your last one.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So after the Game of Thrones season finale.
Yes.
HBO is going to premiere something called The Leftovers, which is going to be a dark drama about the people who are left behind after a sort of mini rapture-like event. Now, so obviously it's operating in a fantasy world, but it's going to be serious and funny at the same time. And the reason I know this, even though I haven't seen it yet, is because it's written based on a book by a novelist called Tom Perrotta.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote Election and mm-hmm. Little Children.
Yes.
And he's written lots of other great books that I love. And he's just a very incisive, dry wit. Does great characters, male and female. I can't imagine this is going to be a bad show.
Well, it's hard to imagine terrible shows being broadcast on HBO. I mean, they've
They've had some misses. You know, sometimes they think it's enough to just sort of throw a celebrity up there and give her mm-hmm. her own sitcom like Dahl and M, and you're just kind of like, okay. So, I mean, HBO's not foolproof, but yeah, they have built a deserved reputation for quality. But for me, more is the fact that it's this writer. And it is an intriguing premise.
Yes,
it
is.
A bunch of people just got disappeared, and you're like, hey.
So do we think it's going to be like, what was it, 4400? Or do we think it's going to be like, this is the end? You know,
I think it's going to be about as far away from like the Left Behind Kirk Cramer movies as you can get.
Sure.
Good. That's a good thing. I see Damon Lindelof's name on here. Mm-hmm. How do you think that's going to help or hurt? What do you think of Damon Lindelof's name? And I like Lindelof personally.
Yeah, I mean,
he gets a really bad rap. But.
It's it's not necessarily a bad thing. You know,
I like him. You know, of course, everybody blames him for Lost. Everybody blames right. him because, you know, what was the alien?
The smoke monster?
No. The alien, Prometheus.
Oh yeah,
you know he wrote that.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, of course, it's Lindelof. Couldn't end the movie, right? You know, stuff like that. I like him. I see Peter Berg's name's on here, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Peter Berg, you know, just really, like, you know, Peter Berg could bring something great. Peter Berg could bring something awful. It's just really hard to say.
Right. Within a year period, he had Battleship and then was the war movie this past year with Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I can't remember the name.
Right.
Now.
So, which is a good movie.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Peter Berg will always have an in with me because of The Last Seduction, so.
There you go.
I'll always give him a chance.
Justin Theroux's in this. He's
mm-hmm.
he's talented. There's a lot of good names in here, so. Very, very cool. So, all right. Now, anything else coming out, you know, or where are you at with TVs? Where you said you're kind of over the Mad Men thing. Are you ready for that to kind of wrap up? went back and started rewatching it, so I'm kind of at the beginning again.
I have to say, I was very disappointed when I heard that even though this is the final season, they're doing that cheat thing where the final season, that second half of the final season, will not air until spring of 2015. And I'm like,
oh, yay.
You're not, it's not that good. It's not that good. Like, you know, it's like this guy who's really incredible, but he only comes into town once a year. And what are you supposed to just not date? I mean, you know, it's like,
right.
You're not that good of a show. You're very good, but stop drawing it out. Like, just let's go. And, you know, it's the show is just so opaque right now where you're just sort of looking at it and going, okay, that's an homage to The Graduate there in the opening credits. And, okay, you know, it's always been that way. But we need some major developments to start happening.
Yeah.
And I said that two seasons ago, so I'm really impatient with the show right now.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate because
deservedly.
These shows, they do kind of outwear their welcome, and they're staying on just to kind of keep something on that's going to bring viewers in rather than trying to develop any new material. So,
you know, I think Matthew Weiner has a plan for where it's going, and I think it all makes sense to him. I just think that whoever is at fault for the foot dragging, whether it's the network and their money issues or it's him or the actors, I just think this is a lesson in don't do that to us anymore.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad did it to us somewhat, but not as much as Mad Men. I just, this is a lesson it should be for producers. Like, if you have a really excellent show, don't make me wait 18 months to see new episodes.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it had the lowest, rating of any season premiere since,
people
a long time.
Just it's, done with it, right.
Yeah. It's hard to get excited about it when you haven't seen it in a year.
For me, that's part of the biggest problem with TV is not knowing when something's going to be on, you know, especially, you know, like with S.H.I.E.L.D. recently. It's been like 1 week it's on, then it's off for 2 weeks, and then it's back for 2 weeks, and then it's gone for 3 weeks. And, you know, this is what kills shows. The ratings drop because people get tired of trying to figure out when that show's going to be on.
I mean, you know, people, when they go back to their shows, they're not just going back to the same characters. They're not just going back to the same to the franchise. They're going to the time slot, too. It fits into their lives. I mean, that's how, when I watched television, that's how it felt for me, is I know when Sex and the City comes on that I do all of this during the day, get a glass of wine, and sit down at this time, you know? And when they're hopping around like that, it's just like, I got to get my schedule together to some. There are some shows in their prime when they're that good that you want to follow around, but you know, I need some consistency. Like you said, I need that man to be there.
Exactly.
Consistent.
Yeah. The networks are taking the wrong message from the advent of Netflix and Hulu and stuff and all that. Mm-hmm. Which is thinking that people will just catch up. Well, catching up is for when you didn't watch the first two seasons and the third one is coming out and your friend has talked you into it. It's not for
exactly.
You've gotten into the first season of this and you really need to get a loyalty going.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then it does become that we will just wait and then they're going to start losing their viewership on, you know, because they'll be like, you know what? It's been gone for so long, I might as well just
I think that's a great
wait
point.
Until it comes
is
in.
That, on I mean, we understand that there is an impact from the binge watching experience. But I think you're right that they may be taking the wrong message from that impact. I think that's a really great point.
And you know, this is Hollywood. I really don't, I'm not going to take any excuse from ABC for not giving me a weekly episode of Masters of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean,
yeah,
what else are you doing?
That's true.
Are you not getting paid enough? Do you have to go work at Taco Bell for 2 weeks?
And they've had two movies come out and you know, since the show has been on the air. And they, you know, have tied up the recent episode, I know, kind of tied in with Captain America, but they threw in a couple of characters to kind of tie in with Thor. But they're, you know, you take advantage of all that publicity, you know, and, you know, that show has really suffered. And they haven't taken advantage of using those movies to tie in stories to get people to watch. Instead, it's maybe we're here, maybe we're not.
So, maybe we are.
I know you're in a hurry and you got to go back. You want to stick around for a few more minutes or you got to run out? We're running about a little after 12 here.
Yeah, I should probably get back to my day job.
Okay.
I'm on ABC, so I do have a day job.
it was great having you on.
Yes, it was.
We'll definitely do this again, maybe
definitely.
Closer to the fall the fall season. So.
Yeah, it's been fun.
All right.
It's Take great
care.
To meet you.
Have a nice... We'll put some links up here for you and, you know, get people directed to your TV reviews. Cool. Enjoy Game of Thrones. That was pretty awesome, yeah?
Yeah. I've already seen this Sunday's, and yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's good, too.
Oh, you TV person, you.
Yeah. It definitely got me going again last week. I was like,
yep.
Take care, sweetie. We'll see you next
time. Take care, Sarah.
Bye, guys.
All right. That was Sarah Smith.
Sarah Smith. With dimples like those, why does she need a day job?
She and I appeared on KCUR, Up to Date, with Steve Kraske.
Nice.
So that's how I met her. And, yeah, so she's very cool. She knows a lot about TV. So I figure when we do these kind of things, we need to get someone in here that can go beyond our knowledge.
That's right.
And she can definitely
and
do
she
that.
Definitely, I love, she's very well-spoken, but outspoken about her views, and I love that.
Yeah,
very, very articulate and really cute.
So yeah,
so yeah,
check out her
lady stuff.
We'll post her link on our Facebook
She's in radio. The lady needs to be in television herself. She's very pretty.
Now, real quick, I'm going to get back to 24 because I posted something on our Facebook page.
Okay.
About you know, I wanted people to chime in with stuff they were really looking forward to. And we got a response on our Facebook page.
Oh, did
we? About them apples. This comes to us from Tom Scott we won't say exactly where Tom Scott is, but he is in Nevada somewhere. And Tom's really excited about 24. He says, I cannot wait for 24. Oh, and I told, you know, our viewers, I'll read some responses. So we're going to read this one. He says, I've been a diehard fan and I'm very excited to have the show back, even if it is for just 12 episodes. A little Jack Bauer is better than none. To be without terrorist antics and Jack and Bauer kicking ass has been very upsetting. I get goosebumps every time I see the TV spots. You know you are hooked when you rewind your DVR shows just to watch the spot. Loving me some 24.
Well,
very articulate, Tom. Way to go.
I'm
Tom's my cousin.
Tom's your cousin.
He is.
All of that.
I was going
to
sit here and
bring
it
down.
I was going to sit here and just kind of knock on him and have him be like, Jesus, he's just railing on her.
Nah, yeah, no.
Tommy's my cousin.
I cannot wait for 24. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation.
He's pumped. He's pumped. So, all right.
And somebody liked that.
Me.
Oh, it was us.
Yeah.
That was you. You liked it.
Tim and Low Show.
That's right.
All right. That's facebook.com/Tim and Low. So, anyways, before we go into our movie part of the show, my pencil just.
We're going to talk about Bryan Singer.
Dude, Bryan Singer. Let's get into We're going to do movie news, but first we got to talk about this. You know, this is the big thing, our movie news section here, is Bryan Singer, director Bryan Singer of X-Men. He's directing the new X-Men movie. He did Usual Suspects, that other awful movie that came out, Jack the Giant Slayer. Did you see that one?
I did not see it, but I want it to. Yeah. I saw that you did not like it.
I didn't like any of the effects and, you know, had some all right moments, but, you know, ultimately, not very good. So the thing with Bryan Singer is he's been accused of allegedly molesting a 15-year-old boy. This happened, an allegation that dates back 15 years. To, you know.
What?
I'm looking at a story on New York Daily News, and it says the suit filed Wednesday in federal court in Hawaii accused the 48-year-old X-Men filmmaker of first preying on the 15-year-old aspiring actor at a California mansion where underage boys were plied with drugs and alcohol and taken advantage of. So, yeah, and I bring it up because obviously it's huge. And it's huge for a lot of reasons because, A, it's horrible. It's horrible. You know, obviously, it's not just he touched me in my trailer. I mean, this is, you know, allegations of a party where this was happening to boys, plural. And the article here on New York Daily News explains that while there are expected to be other boys that come out and say this happened to him. Not necessarily tied to him, but okay, to these type parties.
I want to make sure that we understand, because you said that it was a 15-year-old boy.
He was 15 at the time.
He's a grown man. He's 30, and it happened 15 years ago.
15 years ago, yes. So that's what I'm saying. These allegations go back 15 years to a party, and it says the late 90s.
Yeah, because when you said that, I was like, was molested when he was an infant? Worse.
Right. No. Right. He was 15 at the time.
Okay.
This party is allegedly in the late 90s, so this kid's in his 30s now. They're not right now asking for any money in the suit, but, it's kind of crazy. Obviously, the allegations are, but also the timing, perhaps, with X-Men's getting ready to come out, and it always seems like whenever these things come up, true or false, I mean, I'm not at all questioning the legitimacy of them.
So you believe that these...
It's not my place to say whether it happened or not. I mean, I don't know, obviously.
But are you saying that you do believe that these parties do happen? Because what it said is the lawsuit claims Singer provided alcohol for the boy and offered him a role in one of his upcoming movies and then told him how... this group, in quotations, mm-hmm. controls Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're naive if you think the parties don't happen.
I see.
What Singer's connections are to him, I mean, obviously, I hope that's not true. But it's crazy, and like I said, the timing of the allegations, is it, obviously it's trying to get in there with the hype of this new movie, and, it's unfortunate. I hope it's taken care of. I hope his name's cleared. And if this happened to this kid, I also, in the same kind of breath, I hope that this kid gets the justice that he's seeking, obviously, whether Singer's related to it or not, it's obviously a horrible deal. And, it's just kind of crazy. It kind of, we've talked a lot of times about these celebrities and how, man, you just really don't know what kind of people they really are.
Well, I think that there is a lot of room. I don't know. I've never been to one of these parties, and I'm not familiar with
parties.
No, where young boys are plied with drugs and alcohol, and forced to perform oral sex. In a swimming pool, underwater in a swimming pool. That's pretty. But I think that there's a lot of room for debauchery in all of our lives. But I think that there's a lot of room in these close-knit, insulated industries where there's a lot of money, a lot of access, a lot of power, and a lot of people wanting to get in. The exclusivity, I think, allows for the debauchery, because what I'm understanding is that this entire allegation is rooted in the promise of fame, the promise of
everybody
stardom
wants to be famous.
And for that, in exchange for it, this boy was willing to cross those lines, mm-hmm. according to his own admissions. I think there is a lot of room for it to be true.
Yeah. I mean, it's horrible.
And I know that there is something called the casting couch, and people talk about it. And I think what the problem is here is that we're talking about a minor. Mm-hmm. I think that the promise of the prospects of fame in exchange for sex, I think that's real. I think, but not just in Hollywood. I think, in a lot of places.
It's not just a Hollywood casting couch.
Yeah. So.
So, well, it's like I said, in respect to Singer, I hope his name's cleared. In respect to the kid, I hope he gets what he needs out of this. I mean, you know, it's, for me, it's kind of refreshing to know he's not asked for money right out, because I think that right away is like
suspicious.
Right.
It always is suspicious.
So, I mean, but yeah, these things happen, and these, it's just an ugly side of humanity.
Yes.
So anyways, there's that. So, I mean, obviously this came out yesterday. I haven't seen any reaction from Singer and his people on it yet. So
now, Singer's lawyer, Marty Singer, says the claims made against Brian Singer are completely without merit. We're very confident that Brian will be vindicated in this absurd and defamatory lawsuit.
Well, good. I mean, you know, like I said, but it doesn't stop the fact that something happened to this kid.
He says that it is obvious that this case was filed in an attempt to get publicity at a time when Brian's new movie is about to open in a few weeks. This is according to TMZ, .com. So, those were
in, yeah, this did come out yesterday on the day of the release of the trailer.
Yes.
And it's just, it is just one of those things where when that comes up, you know, and X-Men was in the news yesterday, and then this, bam, right at the same time. I mean, it was a planned release for the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, they've been, their websites. So, I don't know. Like I said, it's not my place to question anybody's motives here. I just point things out.
Yeah.
And the, you know.
And here's the thing. Even if the motive is publicity, we still need to get to the root of whether or not this is true.
That's true.
If we care to protect children.
Right. I mean, obviously, in the wake of everything that happened with Penn State and Joe Paterno a few years ago, where somebody that high profile kind of allowed his coaching staff, whether he, you know, he, before the man died, said he didn't know what was going on, but there was clearly a pattern of him looking the other way on it.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know, a very big name. You know, Joe Pa was big in college football. They had statues of him on the campus.
Yeah.
You know, Brian Singer's huge and, you know, he's a big director. Tons of big movies under his belt with one of the big movies of the summer getting ready to come out.
And that's a really interesting question. Are we willing to look the other way if this man's motive is publicity? Are we willing to look the other way? Like, oh man, all you want is this. But if these allegations are true, if these acts really occurred, should it matter what his motivation is?
Yeah. If it happened, you're right. Then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens. And maybe we follow up with this down the road. Maybe we don't, but
right.
Otherwise it's, you know, everything will come out eventually. Now, I'll kind of touch on a couple other things that popped up in the news. Like, we'll kind of lighten up the mood, then we'll jump into our summer movie preview. And then we're going to sign off for the season.
Oh, man. Yeah, let's do a little recap, if we can, if we have time.
Yeah, before we go, we will. So, all right, here's a couple of things I've kind of spotted the last couple of days. First of all, Robin Williams is doing a Mrs. Doubtfire sequel. Is necessary? Yes or no? Ready, set, go.
You said Robin Williams is doing a Mrs. Doubtfire sequel?
Yeah, and you just...
one of the summer movies?
You just... No. This is just news.
Just news?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is... And you gave me an incredulous look, so that answered it.
Well, I mean...
Great movie? Well, not great movie. Big movie
It was a fun movie that I enjoyed watching more than once. Mrs. Doubtfire when it's on. I don't know how I feel about sequels that happen so far away from
and
the
is that
original.
Really a story that warrants a sequel?
Twenty years later,
can you dress up like a woman again?
You know, I would be interested in the story that they would come up with because of those things, because it is so far down the pipe, and you know, because everybody's so much older, and because of the concept of the first one, is he going to be dressing up? But is his son dressing up now? I mean, what's happening in this movie? You know, so I'd be interested to know how they would handle sequel material for that film. But I will say when the first one went off, I did feel like I wanted to know more. I wanted to know more about what would happen to their lives.
20 years ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
But it gets in with, you know, me and when they decide to make sequels 20 years later. So there's that. You know, and speaking of sequels 20 years later, not such much a 20-year between sequel, but Sam Jackson may be returning to the Die Hard franchise for Die Hard 6. Now, it hasn't been 20 years since Die Hard 5, but it's been 20 years since Sam Jackson was in a Die Hard movie. But this is something that I think if they just absolutely feel like they have to continue to tell John McClane stories.
Right.
I'm down with throwing him and Sam Jackson back together because sure. They were terrific in the third one together. They got great chemistry.
Die Hard.
So I think anything would be better than the dude that played his son in the last one. The guy from, he was in Divergent.
There was somebody in Divergent that was in a Die Hard film?
Yeah. He was
an older actor?
No. I'm going to show you his picture here in just a second. Let me pull him up. He was one of the army guys. Come on. Jay Courtney is his name. He played Eric, this dude right here.
Oh, I don't recognize him from Divergent, but he looks... Oh, he was the bad guy.
Right. So, okay. Anyway. He played McClane's son in the last movie.
Oh, okay. So he was a child in that. Yeah, okay. But,
so, anyways, there's that. And Beverly Hills Cop sequel, another movie that's been years and years. Kind of a theme going here. This one's going to be directed by Brett Ratner, who's also a blah director. Just why?
Brett Ratner
Eddie Murphy, I'm down for him to get back to his maybe R-rated roots. As long as they're going to go R-rated with the Beverly Hills Cop sequel.
Yes.
Ratner, though, he did the heist movie with Matthew Broderick and Tower Heist a couple years ago. Had a big ensemble. Eddie Murphy was in that.
Oh, he's not the director of, what's the Jackie Chan movie?
Yeah. That's him.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Used to
Jackie
go with
Chan and Chris Tucker movies.
Yeah,
used Rush to Hour.
Rush Hour.
Right.
Franchise, and he directed the Oscars one year.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And he used to date one of the Williams sisters, the tennis.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for Brett Ratner. Yeah, he directed The Last Stand, X-Men: The Last Stand, Horrible Bosses. It looks like.
Horrible Bosses?
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies.
Well.
Did you?
No. He was a producer on that. Seth Gordon directed that.
Yeah, I was. Okay. Yeah, Horrible Bosses.
To that.
Yes, they are. I cannot wait.
Anyways,
Horrible Bosses.
So sequels. Beverly Hills Cop. Top Gun 2 apparently has not gotten green light. But
what is happening? Okay.
Yep. They're just going through all those 80s movies and being like, which one can we make again? They're
I
like,
think,
all of them.
I think Pompeii needs to erupt and smother Hollywood.
That's just going to fall
right
off
now.
Into the ocean.
Goodness, what are they doing?
Bounce up and down.
That.
Then what would we talk about? You know, they'd be putting us out of a...
No, we could talk about all of the fresh, new material, all of the creativity and imagination that is hard to believe coming out of Hollywood. This is the golden age of Hollywood. But no, we can't say that because they're taking the easy route, and it's frustrating and dissatisfying, and it's sad. It's sad because we are marching toward idiocracy, and I think remakes is a part of that.
Yeah, it'll change. Something's got to happen. Who knows how long it'll take for change?
Or remakes are a part of that. I used remakes in a different way. Remakes.
All right, summer movie preview time. Summer movies. You like them, hate them, like them, love them. Summer movies, because you know they're it's almost a genre. The big
summer blockbuster
popcorn.
Well,
movies.
I mean, I think that what I'd really be talking about is if I like The System. And how they have a release, you know, I think it's okay. I mean, it's a business tactic.
Yeah. Summer, you get all the mindless action movies, the goofy comedies, you know.
Yeah.
Around Christmas, you get all the Oscar movies, you know.
Right.
So, Hollywood, you know, yeah, kind of went through releases. So, this year, there's, I don't know, I guess it's an all right slate of movies. You know, we've already talked about X-Men. Days of Future Past is one of the big movies for May.
Yay.
Now, that one's getting all the X-Men universes together. You know, the older Xavier and Magneto's, the younger Xavier's and Magneto's
sure.
are all united by Wolverine so they can all fight off a future war based on a comic, one of the comic book series, one of the
nice.
Most popular comic book series of the X-Men line. Yeah, so you'll get to see your boy Michael Fassbender because I know you're a huge, huge fan of him.
I can't live without him.
And the other dude, what's the younger guy?
Oh, McAvoy. Yes.
James McAvoy will
now
be back.
Now him.
Patrick Stewart.
I love
back.
Him. Which Let me I, tell you, I fell in love with him in Narnia when he was the goat.
The little goat boy.
Oh, my goodness. I was like, I think I'm in love with a goat. It just, he's amazing. He is yeah. so beautiful. I've watched his films, like obscure ones before he got his teeth fixed. And I'm just like, I love this. He is beautiful, and I love his acting. Yeah. I'm a fan.
It should be cool to see him in scenes with Patrick Stewart.
Yes. Who? Yes.
So, but yeah, and
who was in Dune? Who? Yeah. The Next Generation, and so he's pretty up there.
That comes out on May 23rd.
I'm there.
All right.
Totally.
Another one is A Million Ways to Die in the West. That's May 30th. Apparently, I'm not going in any kind of order. That's the new one from Seth MacFarlane. Who did
yes,
Ted,
yes.
Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Live action again. You know, this is a, you know, it looks very much like a Blazing Saddles type
right.
Western comedy. You know, it's Neil Patrick Harris is in it. So it's got a pretty cool cast. Seth MacFarlane, once again, is, well, he's in it. And, you know, he was the voice of Ted.
Yes.
Now he's like in it, which he, for me, I can do, I don't know, maybe without him as an actor.
Yes.
Probably
agreed.
A movie, maybe he should have. But I think he likes to.
I think that he has a kind of comedy that reaches a lot of people. And I think he's really good at building that platform. Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't necessarily need to see his face.
Yeah.
When he did the Hulu commercials, it was just kind of like. Hmm.
He's one of those things where he obviously thinks he's pretty funny. I mean, you know what? Do you know what I mean? Where
I mean, I think he's smart.
I think he is, right.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see those people, and it's like, man, he just really thinks he's pretty great.
And which award ceremony did he host?
He did the Oscars last year. It was last year.
It's just unnecessary.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he is as a person, but.
But so, what I am very excited about, Edge of Tomorrow.
Is that in?
Yeah, we got to see that. Well, we got to see that trailer before Transcendence.
Right.
With Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt is one of my favorite actresses. When I was introduced to her in The Devil Wears Prada, and I fell in love with her. And I did think that she got a little too slim. And it was hurting me that was happening. But I think she's one of the most talented actors on screen right now. So I'm hoping that she's choosing the right material. But Edge of Tomorrow, the Scientologists, they tend to gravitate toward sci-fi films. I think that's a really good thing that comes out of it because I love sci-fi. And I like Tom Cruise.
I do too.
I always have. I always have.
My wife hates him. She's always like, I'm not going to see that movie. I'm like, you know what? Nobody wanted to take you to see that movie anyway. I wasn't going to take you. I don't want to see that movie with you. All right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But she always, you know, of course, she'll go watch the Mission Impossible movies, though, because they're awesome. But yeah.
So, yeah. Edge of Tomorrow, it's kind of, it says you live, you die, you live again. There's, you know, but I don't think it's an issue of reincarnation. I think it's an issue of repetition.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm interested. Those kinds of movies, they float my boat. Obviously.
Well, that's a June release. So, also in May.
Oh, yes.
We have Spider-Man 2.
Yes.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be confused with Spider-Man 2, which came out 10 years ago.
Yes.
Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, man.
With a whole bunch of new villains.
They're bringing the same guy back, right? His friend, the James Franco character. They're bringing that character back.
That character.
Well, yes, they're bringing that character.
The Harry Osborn character.
Yes.
Kind of going a different, you know, they're setting him up as the Goblin here, and I think it'll be his father that avenges him down the road. But they are going with the Sinister Six storyline, which in the comic books is all the villains eventually get together to... And they're setting up Goblin here, Electro, and then in the trailer...
Why do they need six villains to get Spider-Man? I think I could get Spider-Man. He seems kind of wussy.
Shoot. Spider-Man's awesome.
Is Spider-Man
awesome?
Yeah,
he really is. He's really awesome.
I didn't read the comics. I did play the video game.
One of my favorites growing up. Always Spider-Man.
I mean, and I want to be sensitive to that. But in all of the movies so far, it's really easy to take him down. Like the whole
city.
Yeah, it's a
good thing he doesn't live in Kansas, huh?
I mean,
like, what would Spider-Man do in Kansas?
Right,
swing around on a lamppost.
There's like two buildings that he
could
swing from.
I would totally take you down.
In the movies, the whole city has to come together and save him. Like every time, they're like, Spider-Man's down, and then some little kid's like, Dad, go save him. And so his dad, like, oh, okay.
Oh, in that last movie when they lined those cranes up so he could swing them, that was lame.
It is just like,
so. Yeah.
I mean, and I get it that they don't need to know who's behind the mask. They love him. They know he's a hero. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it. But you know,
other releases for May: Godzilla.
Yeah.
Pumped up for Godzilla.
Yes.
May 16th. John Hamm's back with a movie on May 16th called Million Dollar Arm. It's a Disney movie, baseball movie.
Yes.
He's scouting a kid out of India, I believe.
And there's some, you know what, let me do some research real quick, because I know that Disney just released, they're doing something special with Million Dollar Arm. Cool. Let me see if I can find that real quick.
All right, well, I'll wrap up the May releases. Neighbors, good comedy between Seth Rogen and Zac Efron playing, you know.
Seeing that.
Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne are a married couple, and they have this fraternity moves in next door to them.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of crazy shit happens, I'm sure.
Nice.
The trailers look hilarious.
Yes.
But, you know, is it going to be one of those where you get in there like, oh, we've already seen these parts? Hopefully not. Hopefully there's a lot of crazy stuff that's not there.
Well, I really like Seth Rogen.
For the most part, I do too. And I think when I don't like him, it's not because of him. You know,
I like his voice. He's got a nice voice.
I think he's great because he's taken advantage of what he sounds like and looks like.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
like Jonah Hill, you know, went through a very, you know, not necessarily he cosmetically changed, but he physically changed. I mean, mm-hmm. he lost weight, which obviously is good for him.
Yes.
I mean, he shouldn't stay a fat guy just because it's funny when he's fat and he's being funny, you know. So, you know, yeah, Seth Rogen's kind of...
I thought you were going to say that he went through a cuddly phase.
No cuddly phases.
Like, yes, he was. He seemed cuddly.
But you talk about James Franco, and James Franco has a movie coming out every month of the summer.
Hmm.
Palo Alto is the movie for May.
That's so because James Franco is an android.
I think so.
Because he teaches classes over here, and he's in all of these movies over here, and then he's... Yeah, got businesses. And so, okay, back to Million Dollar Arm. Disney's Million Dollar Arm pitching contest offers a chance to win $1 million. So contestants can test their fastball skills at Downtown Disney District in Anaheim, California, ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex at the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida or the Tribeca Family Festival in New York. And it says 9 finalists will advance to the final contest held at Disney's Million Dollar Arm World Premiere in Hollywood, California. So, and let me just read a little bit here. Disney is giving amateur baseball pitchers in the nation a chance to compete for $1 million prize in the Million Dollar Arm Pitching. The Million Dollar Arm Pitching. It's not, it's Million Dollar Arm Pitching Contest, not Million Dollar Arm Pitching, which is how I was reading it. Okay. The Million Dollar Arm Pitching Contest is being held to celebrate the opening of Disney's Million Dollar Arm, an incredible true story about two young men who went from never throwing a baseball to getting a major league tryout. That's pretty awesome. That's what the movie is about. Cool. So when is this happening, this amateur baseball pitcher, male or female, who are legal United States residents at least 18 years of age or older? Let's see. When is that? Presented by Subway Restaurants. Ooh. The three qualifying events will take place on April 25th and 26th from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. at both Downtown Disney District in Anaheim and so on and so forth. And so that seems pretty cool.
Cool. So if you're there, do that. Anyway, finish it up, May Maleficent. How about that one?
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie.
Looking forward to it. My kids too. Have already told me you better be taking me to see us or we're going to break your knees. I said, we'll be there.
Me and my daughter watched Sleeping Beauty. It's my favorite Disney movie.
Yes.
You know, those princess movies. So.
Yeah, I remember because in our first episode, we talked about top five princess movies.
You talked about a movie that's coming out in June that I agree with you. I'm on board with Edge of Tomorrow so much. You know, I think it looks cool. And it could be, you know, with the recent one, Oblivion with Tom Cruise. I thought that was a little blah. It came out a little flat.
I gave it a bad review.
Yeah. I just, you know, it just ultimately in the end was just like, really? It was kind of one of those, that's all it was.
It was, that's all it was. And then it stole, from these recognizable scenes from all these other sci-fi films. I mean, it was a little Dune-esque. There were a couple of things I was like, yo, you lifted this straight out of The Matrix.
Right.
We haven't forgotten The Matrix. Right.
There's a difference between
you're not
going to
get away
stealing.
With it. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Another one, and I don't know how I feel about this one, Transformers Age of Extinction.
Mm.
Mark Wahlberg's in it, which I like Mark Wahlberg.
I do.
I think more than anything, I'm disappointed that Michael Bay's back for this movie. Just because...
Michael Bay is back. That's like a horror film.
And I don't mind Michael Bay's action movies at all. Sure. You know, I mean, sometimes I think you need a mindless movie where shit just explodes just to have something on the screen. But I think these movies could definitely go with an infusion of some new blood in there to get a different vision on there. So, I don't know. He's back. This is supposed to be the start of a new trilogy, and it's got Mark Wahlberg in it. Also in June, we've got Think Like a Man 2 with Kevin Hart. I don't know how I feel about Kevin Hart. I think he can be all right with good material.
I like Kevin Hart. You know,
I didn't like Ride Along. I thought it was awful.
I didn't see Ride Along,
it was the script.
Yeah.
Because he does that rant, you know, when he gets going and he talks, you know, when he talks fast. But if what he's saying, I mean, it wasn't his, stand-up.
Right.
It was like him doing a stand-up with weak dialogue. So it just wasn't fun. It didn't work for me. The Fault in Our Stars has Shailene Woodley. She plays a cancer patient. It's supposed to be really good. Jersey Boys, based on the musical, is coming out in June. Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler have a movie coming out called They Came Together. That could be a lot of different ways.
So, my mind immediately went there. I'm sorry. But I like Paul Rudd.
I do. Yeah. Kansas City boy.
Yeah.
Right. We got a, 22 Jump Street is a big one coming out. Did you see 21 Jump Street?
I did not.
Oh, it's Josh, 21 Jump Street. Have you seen it? It's hilarious. I like it because it's very self-referential. You know, it's very aware that it's a movie based on a show. And judging by the sequel, it's going in very aware that it's a sequel of a movie based on a show. And even questioning, do people really want to see this? Like within the dialogue of the...
Is it on Netflix yet?
21 Jump Street? Uh-huh. I don't know if it is. It may be. Netflix is so worried about their releases. Sometimes they're there and then they're not.
So, hey, Lonita, want some quick suggestions? A haunted house. I didn't really watch
June
that.
The James Franco movie is called Third Person. Third Person comes out June 20th. Then How to Train Your Dragon 2, which I think is one of the better animated movies of like the last 5 or 6 years. I love that movie.
It is not available to stream.
So, all right. July, we've got, let's see what we've got in July. Tammy with Susan Sarandon and Melissa McCarthy. I imagine Melissa McCarthy is going to play an obnoxious, overweight character who yells and cusses a lot in this movie.
Oh, that's unfair.
Why? I like her, but she seems to kind of play that in all our movies.
You don't watch Mike and Molly?
No, I do. I mean, in her movies, she always seems to be the character that's...
That's not true. She, in Life as We Know It, she was great.
Life as We Know It?
With Katherine Heigl, your favorite actress. and Josh Duhamel. I love the movie. I've seen it several times. I think
she's talented. I just unfortunately think she kind of gets all the, hey, we need someone to kind of be big and obnoxious.
Oh.
That's you. Not typecasting. It happens. It's not my fault. I'm not typecasting her.
Wow.
I'm not the one doing
it.
I
think that you're typecasting her right now with those comments.
No way. I mean, I don't know. We'll see this, but...
I think that she's got a lot to
offer.
Picture
her from the movie. She's yelling.
Yeah, she's already yelling in the photo. But she's blonde.
I'll give it a chance. I'll go in there. And if she's not, I'll come on the show and I'll be like, hey, she wasn't obnoxious. And I like her. I just think she gets those roles.
I would like her to be able to evolve. I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
Weren't they nominated for an Oscar?
Who?
For Bridesmaids?
I don't think so.
What was it?
If Bridesmaids got nominated for an Oscar, I owe you a piece of chocolate cake.
Wait a minute. Ooh, I have a chocolate tart in my purse.
So, that's what she said?
All right. They were nominated for something, right?
We'll see. Oh, and Hercules comes out.
Oh,
remember that one?
We didn't ever finish watching the trailer of the Guardians.
Guardians, we'll finish that up today. How about that?
Let's do that, because I was excited, actually.
We'll finish that up with the show. Another one coming out. This is like my birthday week. This comes out July 25th. This is Sex Tape. This has Cameron Diaz and Jason Segel. They film themselves having sex, and the damn thing, because of cloud, you know, gets uploaded to the internet. Everybody sees it. And it's about these two people who have to deal with that.
Nice.
So that's interesting, because that'd be a fun thing to go through.
That's happened to me more than once, and I don't know that there is any dealing with
that.
You
can Google Lunita Cook sex tape.
I'm
sorry,
totally joking.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes also, that's in July. Googling it anyway.
And
so,
also.
Right. The Purge. Did you see The Purge last year?
You know I saw The Purge.
There's another one coming out. This one actually is going to get into what happens outside of one house. My problem with that movie is it had an interesting premise of a society going, hey, to keep everybody at bay, we're going to let you have one night. You can go out and do anything you want to do.
Right.
Kill, steal, burn shit. It's a fascinating premise, but they stuck us all in one house with one family, and I thought you got away from all of what happens out there in this society. In this movie, it looks like it's got the dude from Captain America that played one of the bad guys, you know, that beat him up in the elevator, right? One of those dudes. He's kind of the main character of this movie, and it's which I think is an interesting premise. Get outside of that one house.
I
thought the family was not interesting enough. I didn't want them to live.
The family was not interesting.
Yeah.
It was predictable. It was one of those things where one of the characters had to be dumbed down in order for it to happen.
I didn't think it capitalized on its premise. That was my problem with it.
It did not. It could have been so much more mind-blowing and fascinating.
Yeah.
And it was
well, hopefully they get into that stuff with The Purge Anarchy on July 18th.
We'll see.
Right. Philip Seymour Hoffman has a movie coming out called A Most Wanted Man. This is one of his last movies.
That's right.
Obviously, the next Hunger Games, I believe, is the last movie he filmed. Or we was filming, and they're like using CGI to create him to finish that movie. That freaks me out. But a most wanted
all
man.
All of these people will be obsolete soon enough.
Yeah, that's July movies. Get into August, Guardians of the Galaxy. That's, you know, got to be the big movie. And August is kind of usually known for movies that kind of at the end of the summer that aren't really expected to do much. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is coming out. Looks like a horrible piece of crap. Get On Up, I think, with Chad Boseman. I think he was great in 42.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to see him playing James Brown.
James Brown. Ow!
Yeah. So that should be pretty cool. You know, but again, hopefully with someone like him, it doesn't become a, hey, we want to make a biopic about a African-American. And, I mean, is he just playing every
African-American in the world?
You know, I mean, he's
can
great.
Can you dance?
Don't get me wrong.
You can play baseball? You can dance? Can you? And I'm a little, I don't know. This is the director's follow-up to The Help. Ugh.
Oh, is that who directed that? No, this is Tate Taylor directed Get On Up. It wasn't who directed that. Oh, The Help. I'm thinking of The Butler. Yeah. That's different. So, all right. Let me see if I can cue up this trailer while we're talking here.
Well, we haven't talked about the film that I am excited about.
Which one?
For.
We've gotten through July. Where are you at?
May 30th.
Oh, we went past it. Why don't you stop me then when we were in May? It's all right, kid. Let's get back to it. Oh, all right. Please tell me you're not talking about the Adam Sandler movie because I intentionally skipped it.
Are you serious? You skipped an Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah.
For shame. And
yeah, I know. Is that what you were going to say?
Disrespect. Adam Sandler. You know I love him.
I do.
But Belle, directed by Ama Sante and starring Gugu Batha Ra. You have to edit out our giggles.
That's all right.
Because it's a great name. I like it.
Well, I'm laughing at you, not the name.
So she was the lead of J.J. Abrams' Undercovers.
Yeah, that was a
because I know you like him.
Not that was a bad show. Not because of her, but you know.
And so she plays, from what I can tell, the daughter of an aristocrat. It's a period piece, and it's based on a true story. And he has a child with, presumably, a slave. And she's obviously black, and I'm going to assume she's a slave. And he loves his daughter and he wants her to be raised as an equal because it's his daughter and he gives the girl his name, you know? And so she's raised, as an octoroon or, in this household where she's, neither good enough to be with her white privileged family, but she's neither bad enough to be with the servants. I think if it's done well, it can be really interesting, and I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. Hopefully we'll get a screening for that because it sounds cool. We'll finish up August, and then if you want to slide over here, we'll watch the. Finish up our summer movie preview by playing Tim and Lenita Watch a Trailer.
That's right. Tim and Lenita Watch a Trailer.
Expendables 3, another one of those, comes out August 15th. They somehow got Wesley Snipes, Mel Gibson, and Harrison Ford, and Antonio Banderas for this one. So it's like
I thought Wesley Snipes was in jail.
I think they let him out of jail for this. I think he's done. I think he's back to...
Okay. You know. I did not want him to go to jail. That was retarded.
Like he's the
ridiculous.
Only one that's cheating on his taxes. Frank Miller's Sin City, new Sin City that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucy with Scarlett Johansson, where she plays like, it looks like it's a cross between like a action movie and Limitless, you know, she plays like a genetically enhanced something or other. So But obviously, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Let's watch this
big
trailer.
For August. Let's watch the trailer. This
Who
is kind of the movie
you?
That's a slap in the face to DC because Marvel has made a comic book out of a unsuccessful comic book movie, while DC can't get Flash, Wonder Woman. I was almost said Green Lantern. They can't make a good Green Lantern. So, Josh, have you seen this one yet? So, this is the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
Theft and escape from lockup.
What the hell?
Root. He's been traveling recently as Rocket's personal houseplant / muscle. Peter Jason Quill. He's also known as Star-Lord.
Who calls him that?
Himself, mostly. He's wanted largely on charges of minor assault, public intoxication, and fraud.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know how this machine worked.
So that's Marvel's latest, Guardians of the Galaxy. James Gunn is directing that. He's known for just doing kind of crazy movies. And I mean, it's a pretty bold move for them to make this movie because the comic book was not successful, you know, and it even admits it in the opening line. I mean, where he's like, "Who are you?" and he says his name, and the guy's like, "Who?" Because who the hell knows these people? Not many people. So,
well, it looks like it's going to be
kind of cool. It's a little bit different. I think maybe a little bit aimed at a little bit older kids.
And I think that, it, like you said, it's making fun of itself.
Yeah.
And but it's got like a lot of great stars in it. You've got Zoe Saldana, your Karen Gillan, who you like from Doctor Who's.
Yep.
Got Chris Pratt.
He's about to be a huge star. He's going to be in the new Jurassic Park next year.
He's beautiful.
Jurassic World.
He's
awesome.
So gorgeous.
He's great on Parks and Rec. I mean, fabulous. So I think he's going to be a great star.
You got Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper
Ben
doing
Diesel.
The voice of Rocket Raccoon and
Benicio del Toro.
Yeah, it's hey.
you've
should be kind of cool.
Digimon Honsu.
Right. He was at the beginning there.
Yes.
He was in Amistad.
Yes, that's him. He's been in a lot of other things.
Yeah, great.
You know,
Gladiator,
his claim to fame is the Janet Jackson Love Will Never Do Without You video, however.
Yeah, I remember that.
Nothing tops that. I was like, oh my goodness. But, you know.
That movie comes out August 1st. So you don't
Glenn
have to wait
Close?
Too long.
Oh my goodness. And then, of course, John C. Reilly is in it.
And I imagine it's going to have, you know, it'll set up Avengers, you know, in the credits, so the next Avengers movie, so because that's all in line with one of the bad guys in this was set up in the post credits for the first Avengers movie, Thanos. This is kind of developing the galactic tie-in through these characters as they invade Earth or whatever. So it's all eventually you're going to have a scene with Robert Downey Jr. and a talking raccoon. That'll eventually happen.
Well,
yeah, so you have that to look forward to. That's our summer movie preview. A lot of movies to go and check out. Check your local listings.
Chris Pratt used to be chubbier. That's right.
He did. But he was in, what was it, Wanted? Do you remember the movie Wanted with James McAvoy, where he played the assassin, Angelina Jolie? He was his buddy in that. Hilarious.
That's right. He was the...
He was great at that. His buddy was his girlfriend, you know, but he was always like...
He was disgusting still. Donald in What's Your Number.
Yeah, he was.
He's so cute.
Yeah, so he's cool. So keep your eye out for him. And one thing, before we do our season wrap-up here, I want to throw out a mention for the movie Wichita, which, you know, it's really not going to help this guy to do much for this, for his Kansas City and Lawrence screening. Lawrence screening was the other night. He's got a Kansas City screening for this that's happening in Kansas City tomorrow night. It's a Westport Coffee House. And let me get my crew up here. This guy's name is Nicholas Barton. He's a Wichita filmmaker. He's got this movie Wichita coming out. You can go to wichita-movie.com to get more information about it. He's having screenings all over Kansas, Missouri, Colorado, Oklahoma. So you can go to his website and get more. But it's like a noir western, you know, set in Wichita, Kansas. It looks like it's, you know, well done movie. You can watch the trailer. And we were going to have him on. I think we'll get these guys on over the summer. They had a screening that came up tonight, so they weren't able to. So it's kind of been one of those days for the Tim and Lowe show.
Yeah.
So, all right. So check out his movie. Other than that.
Going back to Chris Pratt.
Oh,
so
boy.
He's rumored to be a Knight Rider.
Oh, really? You know, that's not a horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, depending on if they go like the 21 Jump Street where it's kind of serious, but not taking itself too serious, which you just can't.
Yeah. Not, I mean.
That'd be a good.
Watching
I can see
old
him.
Episodes of Knight Rider, it's kind of like, oh, you were taking yourself seriously with that.
Right.
And well, we all
they
take
had,
it
they
seriously.
They had the new show. Did you see the new show? A couple years ago.
I don't think I did.
Not good. Not good. I mean, at one point, Kit was like a transformer. He could transform from a car into a.
Well, wasn't Kit a transformer? Didn't they make a Kit transformer at one point?
I'm sure they did.
Back in the day.
I mean, this it was like fun. Part of his thing is like sometimes it was a car, sometimes it was an SUV. It could transform into a boat. I mean, it was literally.
Nice.
Yeah. No, it was stupid.
I mean,
maybe it was just the execution. The show was really cheesy, but not in a, you know, not in a self-mocking kind of cheese.
Right.
It was just wrong. NBC putting out a 7 o'clock show they thought everybody would watch because it was Knight Rider. But anyway, so yeah, that'd be cool. If Chris Pratt's in that, I'd go see it, whatever. So this is our season finale.
It is.
Finally. 10 episodes. Of the Tim and Lowe Show.
We've done it.
Under the belt. We're going to be back in May.
Mm-hmm.
I need to take a few weeks off to finish my college career.
Fantastic.
I'll be done. And when we come back, we're going to have, well, it's not going to be a new format, but we're going to be doing some new things. We're going to hopefully be doing like a live show every month. I think it'd be cool. We're going to work with Ryan to get something like that set up. So we're going to have live shows. So if you listen to us, you'll be able to come out and sit in with us. We'll do some cool audience participation things. I'd like to get out and maybe visit a new location for recording sometime. Nothing wrong with the Alamo Draft House. But might be nice to play a road game.
Could be nice.
It's our home field. Go on the road.
Yes. I like
Follow
it.
Me. Not too far. Mm-hmm. But just give someone else the extreme pleasure of having us sit here and
of course.
Talk about movies.
How could they not?
We're going to have some kick-ass guests. I do know, like, John Nickum, you know, writes for the Kansas City Star. He's a film critic. He's going to be on the show. I'd like to get more people from the Kansas City Film Critics. We'll do. We've talked about doing a show where we talk about the art of film criticism.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of fantastic critics here in Kansas City that I think would be fun to get a few of them on and maybe dedicate like a show to like a little round table with them. Cause I mean,
Absolutely.
It'd be something we couldn't just do in like 15 minutes with them, but you know, get them on here for like a half hour, you know, get, you know, really.
Yeah, they can sit with us. So, we can really, yeah. I mean, we can do a little bit of what we do. We can critique amongst ourselves,
sure.
But then talk about, what goes into a critique, because I know that it's a debate.
Critics get a bad rap.
Well, critics get a bad rap. We can talk about that. Why do critics get a bad rap? But why are we necessary? And then why are some critics more respected than others?
Yeah.
I mean, we can talk about a lot of things that under the umbrella of the art of criticism, but this is something that I really am interested in. particularly after seeing Gore Vidal, he was more of a critic of politics, but he was also an artist. And one thing that I got to speak with Chad Troutwine, one of the producers on the film, he seemed to exist in a time where there was an intellectualism that could be taken for granted. Yeah. And I wonder where we are now, where our Kansas City film critics think we are.
Yeah, that'd be cool. So we got some cool things planned. So keep up with, we're going to go through all of our little social networking things. I'm going to say mine, then you can say yours, and then we'll talk about our shows. So people know where they can find us, because they're going to be lost here in the next couple weeks, Lenita, without us. Oh, first of all, watch KC Live next week, April 25th. Lo and I will both be on the show.
Yes, we will.
Dishing out our summer movie preview. We'll take that big bunch of crap we just talked about, condense that down into, you know, maybe like 4 or 5 movies each that we're really looking forward to.
That's right.
So, and you know, because we're very similar and very different, you're going to get different takes on what you should see.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyways, Twitter at TB English. You can follow me there. I post my reviews on Facebook, facebook.com/bonusfeaturesKC. And yeah, just that's probably the best place to find me.
Yeah.
And
I am also on Facebook. You can look me up, Lonita Cook, L-O-N-I-T-A. L-O-N-I-T-A. Did I say that? L-O-N-I-T-A. Hmm. Cook, no E. I feel like I'm answering some survey. And just look me up and send me a friend request, because I don't have a fan page, or maybe I do.
I post your stuff when I can. I post it on the...
The Tim and Low Show.
Which is facebook.com/Tim and Low.
Yes. So, yeah.
So follow us.
I'm on Twitter. Examiner.com.
You can find us through Examiner.
Both of us. Examiner.com. And I'm on Twitter at Isalo. Isalo.
All right. Yep. And Twitter for the show is the Tim and Low Show. So you can find us there.
Yeah.
And we'll be back here in a few weeks. So
hopefully by the time we get back, my film will be done. You
don't
know,
get too worked
I'm
up.
Made a film with Sino Reality, which is Patrick Ray's production company. Mm-hmm. And he's telling me some really exciting things, but I haven't seen it yet.
Cool.
So I'm excited, and hopefully it'll be done. So what do you have coming up besides finishing college?
Well, World's Fun opens.
Yes. You take your family.
Oh, dude, we got season passes, so we're going to be out there every week or every other week.
I nice.
Mean, we've had summers where we've gone like 30 times.
Nice.
Out there, man. But, you know, as they get older, it's getting harder to do that much.
Sure.
Of course, when you've also been that many, just last year we would go for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, is this really worth it? So we're going to get back to really enjoy it. I love roller coasters. I'm a thrill seeker, so...
Fantastic.
Need it. I'm ready to do it. Ready for this weather to change. This is pissing me off. It's cold today.
It is. It is cold.
Nice one day. Sucks the next. It's Kansas for you. It's the only reason that Kansas weather was an X-File. Did you know that?
Really?
It was an X-Files episode that was like around some guy in Kansas that could like control the weather.
Right.
So it was like, of course, Kansas weather is an X-File. What a surprise.
That's awesome.
But... I guess, you know, you said you wanted to recap real quick. Do you want to have your favorite moments of this
well,
of our show?
I enjoyed our first show when we talked about princesses. I like when we do things that appeal to families, because we're both parents. And, you know, I like when we talk about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Comic-Con being my first.
That was
Comic-Con.
Cool.
And then having those incredible guests. Not only did we interview Marlon Wayans, but the legendary DMC of Run DMC.
Yeah, I think Marlon would appreciate that if we said, that was great, but talking DMC was like, that was like a whole nother level.
It was just incredible, because he is a living legend. He was at the turning point of music in our history. He's one of the forefathers. He was there and he was instrumental in that. And I could barely think of things to ask him. being so flabbergasted.
Did I tell
by
you
being
that
in
the
his
next
presence,
day,
like, ah?
The next day when we were out there, he performed.
Oh, I think maybe you did tell me that.
Yeah, we were, you know, at one point they kind of had music going, and then it had obviously switched to DMC, you know, Run DMC music, and it was like, is this live? You know, for a second, it's like we're off by the booths, and you know, even my kids were just like, yeah!
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they appreciate that.
And then he was so great to us because he retweeted us. And
he's following both of us.
Yeah.
He's a very down-to-earth person.
Very down-to-earth, and I think he's amazing.
That was very cool.
Amazing.
But, you know, I've had a great time, and I appreciate Josh for being here for 10 weeks and putting up with days like today where we just babble and babble and babble.
We had
and
a
he's
guest.
Sitting there going, hurry the fuck up. I do have to go to class, though.
Okay.
But, you know, but yeah, thank you, Josh, for everything. Aaron Moore, who does our voiceover for our intro.
Oh, that's right.
Thank you to Aaron and all he's doing for us. For listening to our show, all of you, thanks. Keep listening.
Yeah.
And go back and listen to the other episodes. You can go to bonusfeatures.podomatic.com. Follow our show. You can follow us on iTunes. So you can just have, you know, subscribe on iTunes whenever we post a show, which Friday, be up Friday this week. We'll be up, you know, on Friday. And man, that show just pops right up on your iPod or your phone or whatever in your little playlist. You're ready to go. You can sit at work and listen to the Tim and Lo show.
Really? That's what you advise people to sit at work and listen to the show? Bad
what else
influence,
do they listen to? Pandora?
Tim
oh, come on. Everybody can listen to headphones and shit at work.
Oh, okay.
Not everybody, but you know. Right. If you can listen to stuff at work.
If you're a surgeon and you're listening to our show, don't do that.
He can listen to our show when he's not hacking into somebody's head. You know, he's washing up. He can be like, damn, Tim, love that shit. So, all right. Well, anyways, that's going to do it. That's going to do it for series one
of
the Tim and Lo show.
Series one of the Tim and Lo show.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you when we see you. Peace.
Peace.